worst.
You know that Tommy Buns is here when you start getting tweets that say, my jeans are high and tight and I'm ready. Just, if anybody ever started saying, calling each other mommies or saying jeans are high and tight, we'd have to drive to their fucking house and beat their ass. That's, I mean, you want to talk about like a niche that you guys have carved out.
Yeah.
High, jeans high and tight.
I know. And it feels silly even saying it sometimes. Like when I say it, I'm like, this sounds so crazy.
But that's like your show, though. Your show is fucking silly as shit, man. Your mom's silly. House. If you haven't heard it, it's hilarious. It's an awesome podcast. And now you guys have a real studio now.
Yeah, we moved out of our house and got a proper studio and a proper office building with real professionals who are like, who the fuck are you guys?
It's just like what's happening to podcasts, man. Slowly but surely, podcasts are being forced to be more and more professional.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Yeah. It's so weird. We walk out of our studio door in this really nice building. There's an accountant to the right, a lawyer across from me, and a shrink to the left. And it's like, and they're like, what do you guys do? I'm like, just farts and stuff.
Do you ever scream? Clips. Do you guys scream?
Yeah, yeah. But here's the thing. We go, they also are like, when are you, like, what kind of front is this? Because we're there, you know, a couple times a week for a couple of hours. Like,
right.
We're never there.
Right.
So when they do see us, they're like, oh, yeah, you guys. Like, you know, yeah, we scream sometimes and we don't go check on people, but we assume that they're like, we don't even want to know. So.
Well, do you swear? Like when you scream, do you like, you fucking bitch? Like, you must, right?
Cause yeah,
you
guys, sometimes.
You, when it I was on your crazy. Show, you get crazy.
It gets crazy, yeah. Yeah, sometimes it gets pretty loud and it's certainly offensive to them. I mean, for like those regular 9-to-5ers, there's no way they think that's normal stuff.
Those poor bastards.
Yeah.
A lot of them are listening right now. People in those kind of offices are listening.
Oh, yeah.
That shit is soul sucking.
It is. I talk about it sometimes that, do you remember, did you ever do an office job?
No, I never did an office job. I had jobs, but never in an office. You know, I had a lot of... I just knew from the time, whatever it is, ADD or whatever the fuck it is, I knew there was something wrong with my brain.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no way, or something right with it. I knew there's no way I'm ever going to be able to sit in an office. I just can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think back to when I did it. I did it for a while at different places. And I realize now, looking back on that, how depressed I was.
It's horrible.
It was really depressing. And sometimes now when I'm don't feel like doing something like for my career now, like I'm bummed out to go do something, you know, like, I don't know, press or
morning radio.
Yeah, morning radio or something.
Morning
like.
TV.
Oh,
way worse than morning radio.
Way worse. That shit's way worse. It's the worst. But when I think of that, sometimes I'll remind myself like, remember the real job that you had to do, you know, and sitting in that cubicle and how it really was misery for me.
Yeah.
And I imagine it is for a lot of people still.
I did labor. I did a lot of construction gigs. My stepdad's an architect, mm-hmm. and so I got a lot of gigs on construction sites. I call them gigs, jobs on construction sites. But the worst one I ever got was my buddy Jimmy. He got me a job. We were building a Knights of Columbus Hall, and we had to build a wheelchair ramp for it. That's mm-hmm. what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And it was just the entire time I was working for them. I only think I lasted 2 weeks. I was carrying cement and pressure-treated lumber. So I was getting splinters in my fingers from pressure-treated lumber and carrying bags of cement. And then at the end of the day, I would try to go work out. I'd go to the gym and try to work out.
Collapse.
I was so tired. And plus, I wasn't hydrating correctly.
Of course.
And I was an idiot back then. I was eating, like, fucking pastrami sandwiches for lunch. Like, yeah. I wasn't eating healthy
foods.
Hey,
I do that all the time.
Well, I do too, but I mean, when you're working all day, like, you should be eating.
Killing yourself.
Throughout the day. You should... If you're doing that kind of labor, the amount of calories that you're burning by carrying lumber and sandbags, cement bags.
It's terrible.
It's exhausting.
I remember my first ever job was construction where I was a freshman in high school. It was the summer after freshman year. So I'm 14.
That's not even legal. You're not even supposed to be working.
Well, here's the job. My friend's dad bought really, really shitty apartment complex and was renovating it to make it like decent. So he hired us because we were like slave labor, like free, basically. He giving us, you know, whatever the regular rate is, it's half of that. But you're 14, 15, so you're like, yeah, that's a shitload of money, right? And we were in Florida in the summertime in apartments with no AC, laying tile. So you're on your hands and knees.
God.
you know, putting the grout, laying the tile, and just the heat was, it was just cooking you. It was an oven, you know, like 100% humidity, 96 degrees outside, on your hands and knees, sweat, just pools of sweat. And then some, like, actual constructor would be like, stop sweating. And you're like, I can't. Like,
they would tell you to stop sweating?
Yeah, because you're like, you're clean, like, you're getting the sweat in the grout and shit. So then they'd come by, throw you a towel to clean up your sweat as you're laying tile on the ground.
Oh, I had a summer job where I was putting insulation in walls and attics in the summer.
Ugh.
And so you're sweating like a pig in Massachusetts. It's hot and muggy. You're sweating like a fucking pig, and that shit gets in your skin. Yeah. Like, literally, the fibers from insulation would get in your skin. Like, it gets in your clothes. It gets your neck for some reason. Like, attracts it. Like, it'll always be, like, in here. Like, you're breathing it in. You wear those little stupid masks. But those things don't do jack shit.
No.
Those little, I mean, they might keep, like, large particles from getting sucked right into your trap. But they come in the sides. You're breathing in air. It's like,
horrible.
I bet if you could look at it on, like, some sort of an infrared scan and see the particles coming in and out, like, you're taking that stuff in your lungs.
Imagine the guy that does that for 40 years. Oh. What it does to him.
You know what's really freaky, man? People that work in coal mines. Have you ever watched? They had a reality show for a while about coal mines. But I think they probably realized, hey, we better fucking not have this because someone's going to die while we're filming.
Yeah.
And then people are going to, you know, be mad at us for making this show. But
they do live shorter lives, right? They all
100%.
Yeah.
They get black lung.
Yeah.
They literally get black lung. I mean, you are 100% going to breathe in coal dust all day. You're in a mine. You're in a hole in the ground where they're digging and they're pulling out coal. I mean, that's it's fucking nutty, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's really depressing to think about that's what you're doing every day.
And in like West Virginia and all these like really really poor places where they have these mines, they get pissed when city people want to come in and shut down the mines.
Yeah.
Sturgill Simpson. Do you know who he is? Country music star.
I know the name.
Brilliant singer, but awesome. Awesome dude too.
You from there?
He's he has a song about it. You know, he has a song about King. It's all, I think it's called King Coal. It's so depressing, but it's part of it is like that people from the cities come in, they want to shut the mines down. Like, he was describing it to me. He's like, you never seen poverty like this. He's like, it's just like these people don't have nothing. Like in the song, he talks about just welfare and pills. But that's, you ever see the Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia?
Yes.
Holy
it's
Jesus.
Unbelievable.
That's what it's like.
If you've never seen this, it's so worth seeing.
Might be the greatest white people documentary of all time.
It is. It goes toe to toe with any, and like, and for any white person that like talks trash about like other races and like, well, you know, we're just different. Watch the Wonderful Whites of West Virginia.
Yeah, anybody that thinks that white people are different than anybody else, this is what people are.
Yeah.
What people are is extremely malleable thinking organisms that adapt to their environment. And when your environment is all criminals and pills and welfare and scams, you just like
I think
you just grow up in that environment. That's who you are.
That's who you are. And it shows that you really are a product of
fuck
that.
Yeah.
That whole family is just it's unbelievable how they really are the same organism, you know? Like it's different people. They're from the same family in the same area. And there is no, like, one that's got it together. It's like, it's...
Yeah, there they are.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite is the girl. My name is Sue Bob.
Yeah, Sue Bob.
My name's Sue Bob. Sue Bob, I'm the sexy one. I've always been the sexy one in the family.
They're kind of, like, running through the beats at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I love that one of them is, like, talking about pills. And she's like, I think she's got like Xanax. And she's like, pick these up for like $2. And she's like, I'm going to run over here and sell them for $6. It's a little boot scooting boogie, right? Like, her profit margin is $4. And she's thrilled about it.
Yeah. The one chick, the way she talks. She literally talks like this. Like, you can't believe that she's a real person. That's her right there.
Yeah, you're doing a toned down version of it.
I've been the sexiest one in the family. see if you can find her voice, Jamie. Because, like, when you hear her talk, you're like, get the fuck out of here. That's not a real person.
Yeah.
I've always been the sexiest one in the family.
Oh. So
but
gross.
People, you know, I used to have a buddy that when I lived in New York.
It's gonna be her.
Yeah. I gotta hear this. She's This is
her. Well, I used to be a stripper back then when I was 17, 18, 19 years old. And I made the bukus of money. I'd bring home at least $15,000 to $2,000 a night in my boo. And I've always been a sexist one in the family. I've always had comments from thousands of people.
Oh, this is such a good documentary.
It's really great.
I had this buddy who was, when I lived in New York, who's racist. And he's a good dude, but he would say shit about black people. I'd always get really mad at him. We always had disagreements about race. And he would go, look, he goes, it's not racist if it's everywhere you look. He goes, if you see, he goes, it's just being honest about what you're seeing. I said, no, because if you grew up in that environment, you would be them, you dumb motherfucker. Like, you think you're something special just because you grew up in, you know, Westchester County.
Yeah, yeah.
In some nice white neighborhood, you know, like all your problems, you attribute all your problems, because he had problems, mm-hmm. but he would attribute all his problems to his family and his fucked up upbringing. I'm like, well, think about your problems and how mild your fucked upness was compared to these people that live in Harlem.
Yeah.
Or these people that live in the boogie down in the South Bronx that you're always shitting on. Like, dude, if you grew up in that environment, you wouldn't be special. Yeah. You wouldn't stand out as being this guy who gets it together and is showing up for work every day. And you'd be smoking crack just like them.
Yeah.
You'd be doing things. But we are a product of our environment.
Well, it's like people, they don't think that they don't think about how lucky they are just to be born somewhere, you know, in a certain circumstance.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I was shooting this, I was shooting the intro to my new special. We're shooting like a 1 minute like short that plays right before the special, you know, like mm-hmm. a little sketch basically. And we were shooting it all over LA, and we ended up in East LA in Ramona Gardens in the Hazard Projects.
Ooh,
this shit is no joke, right? And as we're there, I was like just thinking about like, man, like, because all these kids came up to us because they saw the, you know, the cameras and the equipment, you know, the boom and all that. And they were like, they were just interested in what we were doing. And they're young kids. I mean, they're teenage kids. I just couldn't help but think about like, man, like this funny thing, because it's still considered Los Angeles. I was like, when you say LA to these kids, this is what they think it is. This is LA to them. Like the projects here. They don't think of LA as Bel-Air. Hollywood or Bel Air or, you know, Malibu. Like, everyone's perspective on what that is just is dependent on where you're from or how you're brought up. Like, they have a really rough neighborhood, man. Really rough. Like, that's Mexican mafia, you know, cartel kind of shit. Like, you know, it's
face tattoos.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, a lot, man. A lot. It's scary shit. And those kids were just born there.
Yeah, you just get a shit roll of the dice.
Yeah.
And you go to school with all those crazy kids that are dealing with whatever they had to deal with when they were growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. There's a real problem in our culture where that doesn't get addressed. Like, when you hear Donald Trump on TV talking about, like, Mexicans coming over here, they're all rapists and murderers. Yeah. Hey, dude, we got plenty of rapists and murderers right here.
Yeah, you know?
Like,
and as some of them, I assume, are good people.
Yeah.
That's his sense. What a dick. I assume.
Some of them. Uh-huh. Some of them. But the idea that nobody ever talks about, like, what a real issue that is. Like, nobody ever. People will lay out, like, problems, like, tax problems. Like, they'll lay it out. Like, here's the problem with taxes in this country, and this is my plan. Mm-hmm. I want to institute a flat tax, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. Mm-hmm. But nobody ever goes, like, these are kids that are growing up in these environments that are fucked. And the burden that they have is so much more than the burden that someone has if they're growing up in Pasadena.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, extreme poverty, it's a real issue that affects a lot more people. And we have it in this country.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people always think of it as, you know, because it is, you know, more extreme, let's say, in other places. But there's a lot. There's millions of people in this country that live in extreme, below the poverty line. Like,
yeah, and
yearly income.
The cost of living is higher here.
Yeah.
So, like, if you compare the extreme poverty here compared to the extreme poverty in Bangladesh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure Bangladesh has more extreme poverty. And it's probably more extreme even in the context of, like, even if you look at the cost of living.
Yeah.
But it's still no excuse. It's like there's no thought at all about trying to fix those issues.
Right. Yeah. People, they're not. It's not on their mind.
It's fucked, man, because you think about it. Like, how much time do you have? Like, You ever met someone who had a fucked up childhood and you go, man, if you could just get out of your own way, if mm-hmm. you could just figure out how to get out of your own way and deal with all the shit that has messed you up until this point, you'd have so much more opportunity. You'd have so much more. You would get things done more.
Sometimes they didn't even have a fucked up childhood. You just meet them and you're like, get out of your own way.
Yeah.
Like it's all, you're putting the obstacles in front of yourself.
Right.
You know, I think a big problem, and a lot of people have it in different facets of their life, is just denial, you know?
Yes.
Denial is a big thing. People live in denial about any number of things. They can live about, you know, jobs, about money, about looks, about weight, about sex, about everything. But like that denial, you can sink into it and live in it for decades. You live your whole life in denial.
Yeah.
I see people like that a lot.
Yeah, you know, if you don't want to look at what you're doing wrong, if you don't want to look at what you need to clean up.
And it's really that they're scared of the feelings.
Sure.
It's just a fear of, like, if I face that, what will that be like? And I think the reality is most of the time when you do, it's not as bad as you thought. It's the fear of that feeling is worse than the feeling itself.
Well, the feeling, even if it does suck, once you get over it, the feeling of overcoming that is so much better than the feeling of just dealing with it and putting it in the box.
Yeah, true.
You know, the people that ignore reality or hide from reality, that you're only going to get so far with that. You're always going to have those boundaries up that you can't overcome because you've put them up to protect yourself from the truth. And part of what it is about being a person when you're trying to get better at something,
mm-hmm.
you got to be able to look at the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be.
Yeah.
And if you don't look at the truth in certain aspects of your life, that's going to creep into the other aspects of your life too.
Yeah. It's like the whole thing of, you know, being organized at your desk is going to spill out to your house and your car, and you know what I mean.
Like, oh yeah,
you do one thing right, it will spill out to the rest, and if you do things wrong, it'll spill out too.
Yeah, there was an old saying in the gym, like live every minute like a champion. Do your homework like a champion. Do, you know, whatever chores you have to do, do that like a champion, and you'll be a champion in everything you do. Be a champion in everything you do in life. But I'm not doing that. My office is a mess.
Well, it's hard to do that in
That's
everything.
That's my biggest fucking problem right now. I should make a video just to shame myself of my office. Because I get these packages, boxes of shit that people send me and that companies send me, and they fucking stack up in my office. My house looks clean because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have a wife and she's organized and stuff. But my office looks like I'm a fucking hoarder. If my office was my whole house, he'd be like, Jesus.
Yeah,
I put a dent in it this weekend, though. All right, I got home. I put a dent in it Thursday and another dent in it on Sunday. I got rid of a lot of shit.
It's crazy. I feel like someone sneaks into my place and puts shit there. Because I filled up 8 trash bags, like big ones, of just clothes and shit and cords and papers. And then like, it's like a week or two later, I'm like, where'd all this shit come from? Like there's new shit. I feel like I haven't bought it or anything. It's just spilling out of places.
I have cables that go to things that I don't even own.
And don't you hold on to them?
Yeah, but what if I do get another Garmin navigation system?
And Garmin.
I want to put it in a rental car. I had like 3 or 4 of these fucking stupid Garmins. Oh, the new one's different. Yeah. Let me get the new one. This one, you download the updates from the internet, and you plug it in with a USB.
For sure.
Ooh.
This is exciting.
I threw away cables. I'm like, well, this is a mail-to-mail USB cable. Do I need it? You know you don't need it.
Dude.
And if you need it, you go to Fry's, and you get a new one.
Yeah, but I had to talk it out like I was on Hoarders. Like, my wife was like, are we cool to get rid of this? And I was like, I mean, let me think about it.
Yeah.
Like, it means something to me. That and boxes. The box that the shit came in, I'm like, just keep those boxes.
Yeah.
It's like, for what? I don't know. The box it came in that box. We should keep that box.
Is part of that from, you know, we were all poor. Like we were all at one point in our life, we were all poor. And when you're poor, you know, you like everything is like precious. You gotta keep the shit. Is that what it is?
I think it goes back to like Christmas, childhood Christmas, where it's like the box that the thing came in is as exciting as what's in it. And it was also super important to returning things.
Mm.
Like in my house, like my mom returned fucking everything that she bought and then got a new thing. Like she was always exchanging. So I feel like I'm almost attached to like, I might need this for the product later, even though I never do. You know, I've never returned.
Do you ever return things that you buy online?
I've only done it like once or twice out of 100 purchases, you know, like I don't do it a lot.
My wife does it every month.
No, I could not do that.
Every month she's sending something back. No, I bought it, I tried it, it didn't work, I didn't like it.
I'd be overwhelmed at the idea. I've bought shit. I bought shit that's like been pretty expensive. I'm like, I don't really like this, and then I just keep it. like an asshole. Like it just sits there. I'm like, you know.
Online shopping is a real fucking problem for some people. It's sure. become more of a problem than any other kind of shopping.
You realize where it's going to go to? Like, it's going to be that there's no stores at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the stores that exist, they'll probably be like either stores for like large appliances.
Right. Something you have to actually go
and check out. Or maybe like, well, like small stores that are like owned by people, like small. Have you noticed that like there's these fake like craft restaurants? They're like fake, meaning that like they use like raw metal and like weathered looking wood that's not really weathered. It's not really old wood.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
Yeah,
like there's this like trend.
That's a whole look, right?
Yeah. There's like, what is it called? Craftsman? There's like this trend to make everything look like it's
vintage.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Isn't that was a thing with clothes for a long, I mean, it probably still is, right? Where it's like the jeans that you buy that look like you've had them
that
for
have
years.
Holes in them. Yeah.
Yeah. And then and they're all like, yeah, faded. It looks like it's a natural faded look, but actually they did it in a factory, like they made it look faded.
Well, they beat them up too. They wreck them and rub them with wire brushes
kind of
and shit.
Thing.
Yeah, it's very weird. It's weird that girls can still wear them. Girls can still wear jeans with like all these fake holes in them.
Mm-hmm.
Dudes can't wear that anymore.
No. The jeans for a guy, there's pretty much three things that are acceptable. You're either like a skinny jean dude guy, right? Like that's just your look. Or you can wear them like skin tight. Baggy jeans, or fuck it, like I'm giving up on things.
Sweatpants.
It's like sweatpants, or it's like that dad jean, like where they're kind of like whitewashed almost, like they're like light blue, where like it doesn't look that like good really on anyone, and they kind of wear them a little too high, like the
high and tight.
High and tight.
That's
what
you're saying.
Yeah.
High and tight.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's certain looks that are still acceptable for women, though. Like
women can go way further with the looks. Yeah.
They can have holes all over their jeans from their pockets all the way down to like their knees.
How about this? Speaking of high and tight, the super high-waisted over-the-navel look where it still looks good.
That's a new thing, right?
It's like it was old and it came back, yeah. And then
over the navel?
Yeah, over the navel I've seen it, yeah.
That's unnecessary.
But you only see it on like really fit women. Like it's not like, you know, like that's like a sexy look. It's like, you know, they do that. They can wear a low cut one where it sits below the waist. Or you can see it
right.
Like
that's good.
Super low. That's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, we like it like the smallest amount of cloth between your vagina and air.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what we like.
Mm-hmm.
If you're wearing like some sort of a fucking jumper suit, it goes all the way up to your neck and it's made out of corduroy.
Yeah, no, I don't.
That's too much work.
There's like it's almost amazing sometimes where like you see. I'm not even saying at the beach. Like, I'm in a restaurant, in a hotel, ass cheek hanging out of those jeans where you're like, it kind of stops you in your tracks or something, right? Where you're like, wow.
That's
like,
a real ass cheek.
You're almost naked in this hotel lobby right now. And then she's just like getting another key for the room. Thanks a lot. And you're like, do you know how you're walking around right now? Like,
and are you talking about pants or shorts?
Shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, Jesus Christ.
Half of your vagina
is hanging out.
Is hanging out.
And then she's like, could you not look at me, please? Thanks.
Yeah, if she's climbing, if she's stepping up a stair, like climbing a stair, and then drops her keys and bends over to pick it up with one leg up, you'll see her pussy.
That little bit of lip's going to fall out.
Yeah.
Yep. Especially if she's got those lips. Yeah.
Horse lips. One can only hope. Yeah, and they fray them down like to get the crotch. It's like so small. It's like barely holds it all together. Like barely.
Yeah. I mean, I'm celebrating that look. I'm not critical of it. But it still is amazing that's a choice in society, right? Like the barely clothing look.
They're working hard. And it's a girl choice. It's like dudes can't wear Daisy Dukes.
Yes.
Unless you're trying to get some dick.
Yeah, right? I mean, you can get that dick with that for sure.
You can get that dick.
Yeah.
Guys, you would wear Daisy Dukes and like Timberlands with like scrunchy socks.
That's a hell of a look.
But there's a certain look where, like, unquestionably, that dude's willing to suck your dick. Like a guy with a construction hat on, wearing Daisy Dukes, no shirt, and scrunchy socks with Timberlands on. That dude's just sucking dick. That's what he's here for.
And if you see that dude and you make eye contact and you just grab your dick, like that, he's going to come over and attack it for sure.
Especially you with that beard.
Oh, yeah.
You fucking manly bastard.
Bear, man. Like,
yeah. Some dudes are not into that. They're into twinks.
Yeah.
Into twinks. Hmm. But you can get in trouble from saying twink. Did you know that?
Twinks now. Is that off the table?
The guy who owns Bravo got in trouble for saying twink. He called somebody a twink.
The gay guy. Andy guy? Andy Cohen?
Who's about as gay as a guy can be.
Yeah.
I mean, he's about as gay as a guy.
He's like, I would say, like, perfect gay, too. Like, he's got it all going
Handsome.
On. Handsome.
Successful.
Wealthy. Yeah.
Yeah, he probably...
Great suits.
Just gets dick anytime he wants.
Tossed at him.
His phone probably runs out of batteries every 5 minutes because it's just vibrating
from
dick pics.
Tired of dicks. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, how long can a battery... How many dick pics can a battery get before it just dies? I bet
that's
that guy knows.
That's an experiment. Yeah. Andy knows the answer. Ask Andy. That's the name of that segment. It's called Ask Andy.
He should be the guy that they test all their iPhone batteries on.
He's or like, you know, so many dicks.
Well, he's just so successful.
Yeah.
And he's handsome. And he's got salt and pepper hair.
He's not, some people don't know this, he's not just like hired talent. He's the executive.
Yeah.
He makes the programming choices. Yeah. It's pretty remarkable.
Well, it's hilarious that he has all these housewives like bitching at each other.
Yeah.
Those fucking shows have gotten so brutal.
Yeah.
I watched The Real Housewives. My wife watches the Beverly Hills one.
Uh-huh.
So it was we had it on the DVR in the gym in the house. So I said, let me watch this fucking shit and see if I get angry enough to lift.
Real Housewives.
It doesn't make you angry enough to lift. It makes you confused. I mean, you feel so bad for those women. You want to take them and like take them on a psychedelic retreat or something. Like, what are you doing? Like, I understand that this is a job and that you're kind of getting paid to be this person, and it becomes intoxicating because you get all this attention, and then you got to kind of get caught up in the momentum of being on the cover of these magazines, and this girl's got a feud with that girl and I won't work with her and blah blah blah. But when you watch them scream and yell at each other, and oh my god,
I can't watch that after a while. I can't watch the like when they, because those shows, they ride on, like the fuel of that show is confrontations. And after you watch, you know, so many people argue and insult and get like just mean and shitty, like after one commercial break after the other, there's a certain point where I tap out. I can't do it, you know.
Well, it's also for nothing.
Right,
nothing
it's always
happening.
For nothing of substance is arguing, yeah.
It's not like somebody robbed someone in some sort of a business deal.
I told Kathy that my party was Friday, and she said she was bringing Ramon, and I was like, you can't fucking bring Ramon. It's not your party, bitch. I can't believe, and then like, that is the episode.
Yeah.
Is that Kathy's bringing Ramon to the fucking party without
Maybe
asking.
Maybe if you would just get off those fucking pills, you would know.
Bitch.
Fuck you, bitch.
Yeah, these girls were, one of them was going on. She said something about, you know, everybody knows about your husband. You bring my fucking husband up, you fucking bitch.
She throws a drink at her and throws a glass at her. And like, we don't even know what they,
no.
I mean, it might not even be real. I mean, they might have orchestrated
it. Sure.
I mean, they might have said, she's going to bring up your husband and you're going to freak out. So when she brings up your husband.
Freak the fuck out.
Just freak the fuck out.
Yeah.
Throw a glass. And she threw a glass, but she threw it kind of in her direction, like at the ground. Like, if you're throwing a glass at somebody, it's already assault, okay? If you hit someone with a glass, the glass breaks. I think that's assault with a dangerous weapon because it's glass.
Yeah.
Right? You can fuck someone's face up.
Yeah.
If someone's really trying to hurt you with a glass, they throw it at you.
Uh-huh.
But they're not throwing it at you. She's, like, throwing it, like, sort of at the ground, like, in front of you to make a point. It's so dramatic and fake. Take all those bitches and bring them to that project that you went to. All of them. Bring them to West Virginia. Make them hang out with the Real Housewives. Real Housewives.
I've always been the sexy one in my family.
Oh, you fucking, what are you talking about? I'm sexy. Look at my lips.
You want Xanax? $4.
Just opening up her lips and stuffing trouts in it. Catfish. Plumping her lips up with just fish guts.
Speaking of dicks, did you already talk about that guy with the biggest dick in the world?
We haven't talked about it. The Mexican gentleman that has an 18-inch, 20-pound dick?
Yeah. Where the circumference of the head is 10 inches? That dick pic, that would get Andy moist.
It makes, not really. I think nobody wants an ass that stretched out.
No.
Plus, that's like horse dick. That's like the it's guy who got fucked to death by the horse.
It's a horse dick.
It's probably bigger than a horse dick. No. No, it's not. Beginning.
Well.
The horse dick was like literally like an arm.
This is pretty close. He said it's ruined his life. He said he's like, I don't know why it affected work, but he, you know, affected jobs. He said no woman wants to be with him. Like,
yeah, but he's probably a fucking loser anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, wouldn't you just...
Do you think he's having fun listening to this episode? He's like, God damn it.
He's Mexican.
Yeah, he
probably
could
can't speak English.
We don't
he could. We're not going to stop Mexicans from downloading
sure.
the podcast.
They're rapists, but...
What?
Yes.
Don't
what?
Say that. That's bullshit. Every time I go to San Diego, I'm surprised at how many people come to my show that are from Tijuana.
Like, really? They come up?
Yeah, you can come up. Like, there's this, like, illusion, you know, like, people have this idea that you it's impossible to, like, visit the United States from Mexico. You could totally visit.
Yeah, sure.
You can come up all the time. Like, people come up from Tijuana all the time. Like, whenever I do shows down in San Diego, I do, either I do the Parlor, what is that fucking place? Not the Parlor. What is that shithole?
I don't know. I only do-
I'm doing the Balboa Theater next time I'm there. But every time I go, I always meet people from Tijuana.
Balboa, how big is Balboa?
It's pretty big. 2,000 something.
Oh, it's pretty big.
It's a good spot.
You don't do the clubs ever?
I do sometimes. I do American Comedy Club. I did that before. That's small. I used to do La Jolla Comedy Store.
Oh, right. I heard that's really nice, right?
It's fucking great. I used to do that spot. But then I didn't do the store for like 7 years. But now that I do the store again, I might do that. I would be into doing it. I love that place.
You're going to get a call today about that shit.
It's a fun spot, man. It's one of the... Nick DiPaolo recorded one of his CDs there.
At La Jolla?
Yeah, I think his first CD recorded down there. It's a great spot. It's like the comedy... It's the OR and the Comedy Store, but it's in La Jolla, which is a fucking great neighborhood, by the way.
It's a nice neighborhood. That's not the Hazard Projects.
No, the La Jolla, though, is tricky if you're raising kids. Because I have a friend who grew up in La Jolla, and she's like, it's all just, everyone's fucked up on drugs. Like, those kids are on oxys in high school. They're snorting meth, and they're doing all kinds of crazy shit. It's like everybody's ignored by their parents. There's, like, no real sense of community. It's rampant materialism. There's, like, poor baby. Oh, you're growing up too rich. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that everybody's got their problems.
Yeah.
There's a comfortable medium somewhere.
Yeah.
But the rich people that ignore their kids and that are just constantly focused on just making money, that develops some fucked up kids, man.
It reminds me, everything you're describing reminds me of, like, the rich kids of Miami.
Oh, yeah.
It's, like, such, same, something about the beach, you know, set like the southern beach culture with lots of money, where it was like just so, like, kids grew up way too fast. Like, in Miami, you can grow up way too fast.
Yeah.
With sex stuff, with drugs. It's like, dude, what? You're having sex? You're fucking 12. Like, that's so crazy.
Well, I had to get into concert, so I had to suck some dick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Yeah, it is dangerous, man. But those cultures, like, where you have the rampant materialism, and Miami is one of the biggest, showiest cultures that we have in
the
country.
Town. Yeah.
When you drive down the street, you're going to see people that have these crazy cars, and they have, like, neon under the cars. Like, having a Ferrari is not good enough. You have to have a Ferrari with neon underneath it, and you have to have big, giant wheels. There was a fucking... This guy had a BMW. I was in Miami recently. I flew from Costa Rica to Miami, and I put a picture of the car on my Instagram page because it was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
He had a BMW with like 35-inch wheels, like wagon wheels on it. It was so stupid, it didn't even seem real. Like, I couldn't believe that those were the real wheels he had on his car.
And that was in Miami?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy who was a driver told us what it was. That what they call it. They have like a name for it. They call it like when you put giant wheels on your car down there.
Super black?
No, I think it's Puerto Rican.
Oh.
I don't know if it's super. Is that super black? Is that a black move?
I mean, I think it's always, I've always associated it with black stuff. Sure.
Yeah. That culture down there. There's something about
that
culture.
Miami swag.
Yeah. There's something about that culture that is also not quite. There it is. Look at the wheels on that
thing.
Yeah. Look at the fucking wheels on that thing.
It's so stupid.
That's so stupid.
It's so stupid.
Look at the size of those things. I mean, that is a four-wheel drive, like, looking wheel that should be
on. That's a sweet ride, man. That's a nice car.
Yeah. It's a nice BMW.
He fucked it all up with that.
Yeah, it looks like they're probably three or four sizes too big.
At least.
so fucking stupid.
And it's got the like the deep dish that like that doesn't go with that car at all.
Yeah, what is it about like having bigger wheels that anybody would ever think would be good?
That took off. I want to say that took off in the. I feel like in the 90s is everybody. The whole thing was to get 20s. Yeah. And then I remember the first time I heard some like somebody in a rap song was like, I'm sitting on 22s. I was like, oh, shit, he went up 2 inches. Like, deuce, deuce. That was a thing. And then it just, it must have just taken off. Where it was, it's always about trumping that, right?
Yes.
So this
26.
Is like, yeah, what do you got in yours? I'm sitting on 35s, man. That's so crazy.
Do you remember when they used to have the dub thing by the front fender that would show, like, it would have, like, the number 26?
Oh, right.
Remember
to
that?
Show you.
Yeah, show yeah. you what I'm riding on, yeah. dog. You know, like a Boss 427.
Yeah.
Like those old Mustangs. Right. They would have it on yeah, the fender sure. to let you know what was under the hood.
Right, right.
They would put that next to the front fender.
The yeah. wheel size.
Let you know riding on some dubs.
And dubs bigger. Means 20s, right?
Yeah, that's 20s, yeah.
So the magazine Dub is all about 20s.
20s, man. Yeah. Dub sack. That's 20 sack. Yeah.
Oh. Take Dub That's all magazine. About the. It's just what it's a goofy culture.
Yeah,
but that Miami culture, on top of that, has the echoes of the cocaine import business.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was in Miami, I had my buddy Steve Graham did his residency. He went to I think he either went to medical school down there, but he did his residency down there, and he's an ophthalmologist, and he worked in the emergency room. And he would show me these crazy fucking pictures of dudes with, like, light bulbs stuffed up their asses. Like, so many people would come into the emergency room with things
in their ass.
Stuck in their ass. Like, a guy had a gun stuck in his ass. He had
a gun
stuck Loaded? In his ass. I didn't ask.
Fuck, man. That's so crazy.
Yeah, like a 22 stuffed in his asshole.
Yeah. But do you think that's about showing up someone who's like, hey, man, you know, I had a fucking light bulb in my ass. He's like, you think you're fucking tough shit? And then he just grabs a gun and shoves it in his ass.
I'll show you, bitch.
I'll show you
where I keep my gun, bitch.
You see how raw I am? You want to know how real I am?
He spits on his gun, just shoves it right in there. That. Raw
and
that, dog.
It edge all the like the hard edges of that metal. You know, yeah. It's not a smooth, like oval shape.
You do some damage.
God,
yeah. I'd be scared of fingernails. Forget about a fucking gun.
Remember the guy you saw the one guy, one cup, one jar.
Yes. Thing. Oh Jesus Christ!
God, that's terrifying. And it breaks, and he's like, he just stands.
Well, it breaks and cuts him open, and then he starts shitting out these chunks of glass, like clink, clink, clink.
You don't hear him whimper at all.
No. Like, He didn't even, he probably wanted to be hurt.
Yeah.
There's certain people they believe have different sensors, like they have a different sensitivity to pain. Like literally, they don't feel pain the way other people feel pain. And they think that's like a lot of folks that are extremely into piercing. They get real nutty with tattoos and piercings and
lips, eyes.
Yeah. And then self mutilation.
Yeah.
You know, like they say that some of those folks, like they can't feel. They don't feel like, and then also it has something to do with some of them, obviously not all of them, but some of them it has something to do with emotional pain.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. And I also have heard about like the that sensory receptors in our brains, and some people can get overlapped where things that are supposed to be like a pleasure receptor goes to pain, and pain goes to pleasure. You know, so something that's supposed to hurt you ends up feeling good.
What the fuck?
Yeah, something that's supposed to be like you know. That your brain's supposed to tell you don't do that ends up like, being like, this is good.
Put a gun in your ass.
Put a gun in your all the way in your ass. That's such a crazy thing to do. Remember that bit on Jackass when he has the car in his ass, the little tow car?
No,
that's one of my favorites of all
time. Was that one or two?
I think that's in one. That's
in one.
You know,
I've never watched all... Don't put it up. I've never watched all of Jackass. I only watched like a couple stunts from like one of them, and I can't. There's something about those guys doing that shit, even though I know they're alive because they already did it.
Yeah.
There's something about that I don't like. And one of the things that I don't like is because I've been around dudes like that,
not to the extreme that those guys take it, because those guys go too far. But I'm always like, you guys are going to get fucked up, and then it's not going to be funny anymore.
Right.
Like, what you're doing now is adorable if you don't get killed or maimed or paralyzed.
Throughout the thing, every time, basically every segment, someone should be hurt, maimed, paralyzed, or killed.
Yeah.
Every time. Yeah, without question.
Yeah.
It's so crazy what they do.
And the idea that you're getting attention for this is crazy, because now other kids are going to get attention for the same fucking thing, and they're going to try to up you. Everyone tries to up everybody, and it gets to this point where it's you know, you're going to hit a wall, and you're going to fucking die.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I mean, well, that one guy did die not doing a thing.
Well, he was drunk driving.
He was drunk driving, yeah.
But I think that had to have something to do with the way they were living.
They live crazy.
Dudes push each other.
Right.
And if you're in that environment where Mikey's so sick, he's the sickest. You think you're sick? What do you mean, Mikey?
Yeah.
And then Mikey's like, I'm going to do a flip off this building. Don't do it, Mikey.
You know what, Mikey? I'm going to put a gun in my ass right now. You think you're tough shit? I'm crazy.
I can't watch those. I can't watch those.
This bit is actually, though, it's the funniest and the least, like, crazy, as in there's nothing, you don't see anything being done. You just see the guy go to the doctor, and he goes to a Spanish-speaking doctor, and they do an x-ray, and there's a toy car in his ass. And so it's the doctor just talking to them, and he's like, and he's speaking Spanish the whole time, and he's like, anoche estaba haciendo su partying. Like, he's telling somebody else that this guy was partying. And he's like, tiene un carrito en su culo. It's hilarious.
Carlito means a little car?
Carrito.
Is it carrito?
It's like, yeah.
Not like Carlito's way?
No, no, it's carrito. Like, little car. Carro, but like carrito is little car.
Oh, I see.
So he has
a little
car in his asshole. It's a toy car in his ass.
That doesn't bother me as much as like when Johnny Knoxville, after he was a movie star.
Yeah.
After he's a movie star, right, he's doing fucking that.
Major motion pictures, yes.
And he puts a blindfold on and lets a bull.
It's crazy, man.
Charge him and flip him through the air.
It's so crazy. I know. The whole time you're like, it is crazy that they're alive.
Fuck, man, that bull, when that bull launches him, and, you know, he doesn't know where the ground is. I mean, I guess, like, you have a sense of gravity, but he can't see, you know?
No.
He's got a blindfold on, so he literally has no idea. And that bull, just by sheer luck, doesn't stomp him to death or shove a horn through his asshole or...
Or how about when he got, in one of those, you know, it's one of these things, I mean, you know it probably better than anybody. He goes into, like, an antique store.
Oh, Butterbean.
Dude, and like just lets him unload.
Yeah.
And like, Butterbean is not obviously a super fit guy, but he can throw fucking hammers. And he's just punching him in the head with everything he's got. Bouncing off of, and he's punching him into walls and shit, you know?
Was that where they did it? Because I mean, Butterbean did one with them where he beat one of the guys up. I forget which one it was. He knocked the guy out.
I think
I don't know if it was John. I don't think it was Johnny Knoxville. I don't think it was.
Was it
Johnny Knoxville?
And then there was the one where they had another guy go in with a female Muay Thai fighter.
Mm.
And she was fucking lighting him up.
She beat the fuck out of him, too. I'll take that over Butterbean.
Me, too.
Butterbean's goddamn terrifying. That fucking dude hits hard.
Yeah,
he's fat as fuck, but he's also a giant dude, you know? And if you stand right in front of him, just, you know how strong you have to be just to carry around all that weight?
Yeah.
Like, if Ralphie May lost all that weight, do you know how strong his legs would be?
Yeah, he'd be, because he's every time he stands up, he's squatting whatever, that entire,
he's carrying 500 pounds.
Right.
Like, and he walks down the street, he's carrying 500 pounds.
Right.
You know? That's the amount of muscle strength that's required to do that. I mean, the pressure on his joints and his knees
and his
ankles and, it's amazing that guys like that can even walk.
Yeah.
You know? Like, when you see those, I was at Disneyland recently, and there's people in these scooters, like, everywhere. Like, everywhere you look, there's people in these scooters. They're just overflowing on the sides of the scooters. And you're like, these people have just committed to eating so much that they're like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to motor around everywhere I go. My joints, they're just not designed for this. My back's not designed for this. But I'm not going to fix anything. I'm just going to keep eating.
I think they get overwhelmed by how far gone they are.
Yeah. It's too hard to stop.
It's too hard to stop.
It's too hard to stop, and... Also, part of the problem is all your pleasure now comes from that. your pleasure comes from food. Like, I get a lot of pleasure from food.
Yeah, sure.
You know, it's hard to pass up on some yummy food when someone, like, you pass by a hot dog stand and, you know, you see the sauerkraut and you smell the dogs. And you're like, oh, I could go for one of those right now.
Yeah.
One of those sweet buns, those smushy white bread buns. You know, it's all dog shit. It's all terrible for
you. Remember, you know what you got me into? I blame you. But it's not there anymore. But I did it with you a couple of times, and I was like, "This is." And then I started to do it without you and pretend I'm you. When we would get back on flights from in the Delta terminal, and that place that used to have that chocolate croissant, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The one it's gone. Like, that place shut down. But we would go there on return flights and get a chocolate croissant, and it was like super rich, like flaky. Mm.
It was buttery.
It was really buttery.
It was like a real good croissant. Like the pastry part of it was very fluffy and buttery.
Yeah.
And the chocolate was, you know who's got the most dog shit croissants on the planet?
Who?
Starbucks. Mm-hmm. You said it right when I was saying it. Yeah. You knew.
I knew.
God, their croissants are dog
shit. And they were even worse. They upped their game recently.
How recently?
Well, I mean, when was the last time you had one?
A couple months ago.
Really? And that was the worst?
It's horrible.
Oh, wow. Because if you had what they had last year, it would be even more dramatically dog shit.
This is Russian bakery that I go to.
Uh-huh.
And their croissants are fucking banging.
Dude, banging. A great buttery, the chocolate one.
This place, they make their own.
I mean, that's the key. You have
Starbucks,
to have
it. It comes in this little plastic thing, and they open it up.
Yeah, they hire a company.
Yeah, they become corporatized. Like, you don't have to do that. Like, you could make it in-house, or at least heat them up in-house, like have some deliver to you.
Yeah.
This Russian place I go to, they sell coffee, too, and they have chocolate croissants there. I'll take you if you want to go.
Oh, I want to go.
We'll go after this.
I want to go.
I'll take you. It's not that far.
Okay, let's go.
It's so good. They're the best chocolate croissants I've ever had in my life.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm so into it. I go to a place near my place that they bake them there, and they lay the chocolate, and it's like, it's
these Russians,
decadent.
They take it to another level. They also put chocolate chips on top of the croissant.
Oh, stop it.
So they fill the inside of the croissant with chocolate chips. It's melted down when they cook the croissant. And then they put chocolate chips on the top. And then it's like a shiny glaze.
Yeah.
And you bite into it. And it's like, oh, Christ.
Yeah.
Next level. Next level from the place that was in the Delta terminal, which was also next level.
Yeah, that was great, man. That was great. You know, and the thing is about eating that rich food, too, is that now, like, for me, I love food, too. I get so much pleasure from food. If I work out the way I've been working out now, where I'm, you know, doing, like, pretty hard workouts, I feel that thing where it's like,
your reward.
Oh, yeah, I can eat anything, you know, which
Tommy,
I can't, but I do.
Reward yourself, Tommy.
Yeah.
Oh,
Tommy, eat a 16. Waiting. Eat a 26-ounce ribeye right now. And
it's
then,
waiting for you, Tommy. Butter. Butter on your ribeye. How about a little butter?
Oh, yeah.
A little garlic butter?
Yep.
Let it melt in there. Cut into that flesh and have that butter. Dip it in the butter.
Lobster mac and cheese with truffle oil and breadcrumbs.
Oh, how about different kinds of cheese, too?
Oh, yeah.
Multiple different cheeses.
Dirty slime.
Yeah. A good mac and cheese, like a really like tastefully done gourmet mac and cheese, is fucking hard to pass up on. Where when you pull in the mac up, the cheese strings, the melted cheese is like clinging to the fork. It's like,
One of those, like TLC did one of those shows where, you know, like the best mac and cheese places in the country. I almost jerked off watching it. Like, it was so good. Like, it was so, I was so stuck on... I couldn't peel my eyes away from the show.
So good.
There's places that just do mac and cheese.
I bet they do. Those fucks. I can taste it right now. No.
What are we doing?
I missed that. When I was gluten-free, that was the thing that I missed was pasta. I missed linguine with clams. Like, a good linguine with clams is like, that's how you know if a restaurant's for real.
A legit Italian spot, right?
A legit Italian restaurant has a linguine with clams. It's not a soup.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's just like a little, it's a mild sauce, a white sauce with the linguine, just where you can chew the linguine. It's got a little bit of a little chew to it.
Yeah.
And then the fucking clams have to be fresh, and there's a little garlic and olive oil, and oh, Jesus Christ, it was good.
I've been on this foodie kick on the road lately where I've been going just trying to find the best restaurants in cities, and every place seems to have a grilled octopus dish now.
Oh, yeah.
And I tear it up every time.
Grilled octopus is very good.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan
of it.
Yeah.
I've ordered two in one place. I was like, bring out another one. They're like, I'm sorry. I'm like, bring it out again.
That's one of the things, though. You're doing really well now. You're starting to make a lot of money on the road. You're doing very well. And that's when the things you go, you know what? I'm going to treat myself.
Oh, yeah, it's bad.
I want to treat myself.
But I have upped my workouts much more.
Yeah. Are you still working out with Jesus?
I am. Working out with Jesus. Working out with him today, this evening. Yeah. I'm doing a night
Tommy
workout.
Has a trainer that will literally tell him how God wants him to work him out.
Mm-hmm.
God wants me to push you today. Like, tell me the time when you came in, you were sick.
Dude, that's so bizarre. It is so bizarre. And he dials it back sometimes and I'll forget about it and then it'll come up and I'll be like, what? Like, so this time he's one of those people, you know, the person that makes you feel like you're lying when you're not?
Yes.
Like, he's one of those people where, like, we had a workout scheduled and I could feel like a respiratory thing coming on. And I started to feel pretty bad. So I called him and I go, hey, I don't think we should work out tomorrow because I'm starting to come down with something. So we could do it like later. I think I should take a rest for a couple of days. Well, I mean, like, you're sick? I'm like, well, I'm feeling like I'm getting sick. Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe just like kind of gargle some like sea salt. And that's what I do. And then, you know, just get some sleep. And then, because, you know, if you just don't want to do anything, I'm like, dude, like, I'm not making this up, you know? Like, I feel...
Yeah, there's that sort of tone.
It's a tone of, like...
Accusatory.
It's like an accusatory... Yeah, it's an accusatory tone of, like, I mean, are you just a quitter? Like that's what's, like, behind it. And you're like, dude, all right. So the next day, I end up coming, and I go, hey, I think, you know, I you could hear it in my voice. Like, you know, it's in my chest. I go, I think we should just, like, stick to weights today. And he's like, yeah, because of, like, your lungs. I go, yeah, so we keep, like, from breathing really hard, you know, because it really doesn't feel good. I didn't feel well at all. And he's like, all right. So we start off, like, with some weights. And then, I don't know, like, 10 minutes in, he's like, bear crawl over to there and then bear crawl back and then do some burpees. And I'm like, all right. And I just start doing it. And... You know, then I'm like, I'm breathing heavier, right? Because you're like doing cardio stuff. I'm starting to breathe heavier. And it makes me run downstairs. It's like hit a heavy bag. And then it's like just ups the workout. And so like 40 minutes into it, I'm like, yeah, so much for like keeping the cardio down today, huh? And he's like, well, you know, I was doing that at first. And then I kind of started to push you a little bit and you could do it. And then, you know, the Holy Spirit, he kind of, like, tapped me and was like, you know, like a little tap on the shoulder, like, you know, right now, just pull back a little bit. So he'll let me know if I'm ever going too far. Like, he'll give me, like, a warning. And I was like, all right, man. Like, I don't even know.
Is this guy in your act yet?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I gotta see. When can I see you again next? I haven't seen your act in probably, like... When was the last time we worked together? 6 months,
well,
maybe?
No, because we did
Ice House.
We did Ice House, but we did Vegas not too long ago.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
But those are weird because, like, everyone gets distracted, like, off stage, right? Like,
yeah. I didn't see your set that time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I just, you know.
That's also a place where you can't see. That's the Ka Theater.
Yeah.
I couldn't
you
get out
did
there.
It, right?
I just did it last Friday.
How was it? It was great.
Crazy drunks.
Crazy drunks.
Oh, my God. It was fun. It's always fun. But there's a lot of fucking maniacs in the audience this time. It was
really?
Pretty crazy. Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, that
it started right away. Ian Edwards went on stage, and like the first thing they just started. There was like a few people that were just hecklers.
Yeah,
they you know what it was too. It was a light weekend for the fights.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't that many people there, and it was a light weekend for my show. And they gave away some comps. And when they give away comps, that's never good.
It doesn't matter if it's 2,000 seats or 100 seat place comps. When they start
comping away,
places?
Yeah, they gave away a couple hundred free tickets.
Wow.
That's all you need to do.
To go, yeah.
Like,
then it goes crazy.
You're going to have at least 20 animals. You give away 100 free tickets, you got 10 animals.
Now, oddly enough, the McGregor fight weekend that
was awesome.
That was beyond awesome.
And we were preparing for it.
For massacre. Like, I really...
Yeah,
really
you were nervous.
I did. Yeah,
cool. But they were great.
But also, like, it fed itself. The nervousness was like, we talked about, I think it was just a real brief, like, could be real crazy tonight. And that's all I needed to hear. Like, I was just imagining 2,000 Irish drunks, like, fuck, like, just screaming at me.
Right.
And so I was really, like, prepared for, like, oh, this is going to be bad, you know?
Yeah.
I went into it like that, which maybe is why it was, I felt so good.
Yeah.
Because it was the opposite of that.
Well, that was a great crowd, though. They were really
good. Yeah,
they
were remarkable.
They were so good. I mean, just like, you would never have imagined there was 2,000 people in that room, 2,000 plus, or whatever the fuck it seats. It seemed like it was intimate. Like,
yeah.
they were great.
Oh,
but they
dude,
were just excited about that weekend, too.
You know what the Jesus Trainer also did recently was we were doing, there's a type of rack where you can squat, but it also has arms that go out this way. So you can, it basically puts it at hip level. So you
right.
can do like power cleans and stuff off of it. So it's on there, the bar's on there. And he's having me change out, go up by tens. So it's like 10 on each side and then 20 and 30 and 40 and 50. And I was like, should I use the bigger weights? Because we're just adding tens. And he's like, no. Okay. And then he's like, you know what? Take them all off and now start putting on bigger weights. I'm like, all right. So I have six tens like on each side.
Right.
You know? It's like, so I take those all off and I put 45 and then 25. And he's like, and then after a while, he's like, how's that? Good. We keep going up. And he's like, yeah, yeah. And I go, what? And he's like, Holy Spirit was, told me that like, to have you use the bigger weights for your wrists. I know sometimes you have a problem with your wrists. So I think by you moving around those heavier weights, it's better for your wrists. But it was the Holy Spirit that told him to have me stop doing the lighter weights and use the bigger weights.
Do your wrists get sore?
Sometimes, you know, my wrists, yeah, I feel like I have like just weak wrists, like in general.
Mm-hmm.
So I have some pain there or like with power cleans, you know, instead of like having them underneath, like I have like maybe a limited range with them.
Like, as far as like how far it goes back?
Yeah. So it hurts sometimes. And I've like suggested maybe I should get, you know,
those straps,
wrist straps or something. Whatever. We just had conversations about it. But,
you know, what can help as well is there's some mobility exercises that you
that's
can do.
That's what I need.
To stretch out your
yeah.
wrist. That could help a lot.
Yeah.
For most people, if you live your life up to a certain point and you've never really pushed them, they have a limited range of motion just based on it.
Yeah.
But you could change that range of motion with stretching. Another thing that can help the strength of them is, do you ever have a roller? Do you know what that is? Like you have a stick and there's a long string on the bottom of it and then you put a weight at the bottom of the string and then you roll it up.
Oh, I've seen those. Yeah,
those
yeah.
are great for strengthening the wrist and strengthening the forearm as
yeah.
well. Those are really good for that.
Have you ever read that forearm strength is hereditary?
Is it?
That's what I've read. I don't know if it's true or not.
Hmm.
I mean, obviously you can work on it, but you know, some people just have that like natural, incredible strength, like forearm strength, like with a grip.
Yeah. Well, it's also the size of the hands.
Yeah.
You know, that is a big factor because if you have small hands, very difficult to have strong forearms or strong hands if they're small.
If they're small.
Well, it's like there's leverage in having a larger hand. Like guys who have like those big Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, like Shaquille O'Neal must have like a grip of death. Like you shake Shaquille O'Neal's hand, my hand disappears in his hand. It becomes like a little child's hand.
Yeah, yeah. I notice even in like his stature is not as big. You know, he's only like 5'9" or 10". But that with Tyson...
Oh yeah,
but his hand went around my hand.
Well, he's got those wide fucking hammer fists.
Yeah,
you know, and when you have a thicker, like longer fingers, it's like in jiu-jitsu, one of the things that is a big advantage is having longer limbs.
Mm-hmm.
Like guys who are long, like this guy Hodger Gracie, he's long and tall, and he finishes a lot of guys with arm bars and triangles, and he has all this extra leverage because he has length.
Right.
And for chokes, guys with long arms are really good a lot of times at getting chokes off their back, like triangle chokes and chokes from, because they have more length of their bone, they have like a longer, there's more leverage involved.
Right. You can get around someone.
Yeah. And it makes sense with hands too. Like someone with like longer hands, it's more, they can crush you more. There's more there. But like little hands, like you're fucked. Like little, like people with little hands, very difficult for them to generate power. You can be fast, and there's a certain amount of power involved in speed. But like George Foreman, one of the things that people like, apparently George Foreman, I never shook his hand, but it's like shaking a canned ham.
Oh,
like,
really?
Just this fucking monstrous club of a hand.
Well, he was just, that was just a fucking sledgehammer that would come on.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why. Yeah. But the human body, like, varies so much. I mean, there's so many different things that are definitely genetically, they're advantageous. It's one of the weird things about the argument when it comes to steroids or no steroids or performance-enhancing drugs.
Yeah.
Like, there are advantages just to being born with certain genetics.
Giant
advantages.
I have small hands.
They're not tiny.
They're not tiny, but they're pretty small.
How big's your dick?
It's pretty average. I think it might be like, it might fit the actual measurements of the National American Society's
for
dick
small penises.
No, for average dicks.
For average,
yeah.
Not like that Mexican dude. How big do you think his hands are?
How if you could if you had his dick, it wouldn't be good, right?
I bet his hands are like those big foam number ones.
Would you want a dick like that? No. But if you could shape the perfect dick,
listen.
What measurements would you?
My dick could have been a disaster. Everybody's dick could have been a disaster. I mean, we've all met people with birth defects.
Yeah.
And all sorts of. I'm very happy with my dick.
But if you could shape,
I'm good. I won't even enter this conversation.
You want to enter the conversation?
My dick's great.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
I like mine. I like it.
It could be way worse, man.
Yeah.
Dudes have micro dicks, and there's not a goddamn thing in the world they can do about that.
And that is really fucking sad.
It's sad, and it's real. There's nothing they do. There's nothing they can do. We've all seen, like, I went to see this guy once in a concert. He took his pants off, and he calls himself Extreme Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
And part of his gag was that he has the tiniest dick you've ever seen. I mean, his dick is like, and I'm not bullshitting, his dick is like the bottom two digits on my pinky.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's so small. And this guy would take off his clothes, and he was
owning it, right? He was trying to just own it.
Yeah, that was the thing.
That sucks. Yeah.
Yeah, he's fucking talented as shit, too.
Yeah.
Really, like, really good singer, great band, and it was a crazy show. He would take off his clothes, and he would piss on the audience. He would pee on people. He would piss.
Is this Gigi Allen?
No, he had this girl that he was his.
His was really
she was
small,
a singer, too. And she would take her top off. She had great tits too. She was pretty, and she was talented. She was like a talented musician. And he would pee in her mouth. He's like, oh, he would say, "Who wants to drink the king's piss?" She's like, "I do, I do." And he'd piss in her mouth.
What was his name?
Extreme Elvis.
Jesus, man. Because Gigi, you've seen Gigi stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. He would smear shit on people, right?
Yeah, and he had a little dick.
Yeah, well, that's what happens.
Parade that shit around. Yeah, maybe that's where all the rage came from.
I bet it has something to do with it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure it has something to do with it. A lot of people's rage comes from being fucked with.
Yeah.
And from also feeling the inequality.
Yeah.
You know, you feel like you got fucked. Like, you got a shitty hand.
Right.
God damn it, look at these fucking two ones.
Yeah.
This motherfucker's got a full house.
Yeah, that's true.
You're right. Best hand is fucking bullshit. God damn it.
God damn it.
That's life.
Micro dick.
Micro dick. And there's not a damn thing they can do about it. For now. But the day they fix it, we're going to have a lot of those Mexican dudes around. Do you ever see a bit I used to do about big dick pills?
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
That was one of my best bits.
Yeah, that was great. Big dick pills, yeah.
But that
well,
is...
people are doing big dick surgery now, which
but it's not.
I saw a thing one time, a video on it where like that shit looked so. What happened on the video I saw? The guy got like the injections and everything. It just looked like a rubber sleeve. Like there were no veins in it anymore. You know, it was just like, and I don't think it got hard. Any like, it just was. It was big and doughy and like half full. It was like a bigger limp dick, but then it looked fucking weird.
So he would just like smack people with it.
Yeah, check out this big soft dick.
Fuck you, but you ain't worth smacking the face with this dick. Smack.
God, yeah, 18 inches though.
They can't do a damn thing about a micro dick, which is amazing. They figured out a way to make it hard. That's one thing they figured out, boy. That changed the world. The guy who figured out Cialis and Viagra, guy must have made so much fucking money. Oh, my goodness, the amount of money they must make doing that stuff.
Oh, my God.
It's vasodilators, right? They figured out a way to... And, you know, those are banned from the Olympics. Do you know that?
Really?
Yeah.
So they open your capillaries,
right? Well, they help performance. They help your endurance.
You get more blood.
Yeah, it just totally makes sense. Yeah. But I think that if you could figure out a way to actually make something where dudes' dicks grew, it would probably be the most lucrative investment ever.
Yeah, yeah. There were because everybody, even if like you're thrilled with your dick, someone's like, yeah, it's fun. Just try one. You're gonna buy it.
Come on, you add an inch.
Yeah,
you wouldn't want another extra inch.
An inch.
Yeah, come on. Just
you're like, I'll take an inch.
You're happy with it, right? You're happy with your dick. Yeah. Are you thrilled?
Yeah.
Are you thrilled?
And they start getting like agents as the salesmen. Like, you know, they're all salesmen. So it's like, get fucking all the agents in there and being like.
Speaking of lucrative, I was with Ian Edwards this weekend and Greg Fitzsimmons. And Ian and I were flying home and we were at the terminal. And we ran into this girl that Ian knew from the store. And apparently she's a stripper.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting down having a coffee and she asked if she could sit with us. I said, yeah, sure. Go ahead, sit with us. And so she started talking about working at Spearmint Rhino, stripping and this and that. And
she worked this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was coming back and, you know, she was just talking how, you know, everybody was cheap and this and that and that and this. And then she said she was working with this girl. She's working with this girl. And the girl, I go, what percentage of the girls that you work with are willing to have sex with guys for money?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, there's quite a few. She goes, I work with this one girl this weekend who was like, how lucrative do you get? And she goes, what? She goes, how lucrative do you get? Because I be getting lucrative. So, and she goes, well, what do you mean lucrative? She says, I go back to a dude's hotel room for $1,000. I get lucrative. Lucrative.
Lucrative.
And this girl was married to a guy, apparently, that is not gay, but is a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
He dances for men, and he's gay for pay.
Yeah, he's gay. It's a
her
gay
husband
guy.
Is her husband.
He's gay.
Will let, like, five guys run a train on
sure.
him.
Sure. It's so fucking unacceptable.
Dude, hey, one night, he doesn't have to work for the rest of the month.
Okay. How's that? How's your sleep? Are you sleeping well? Is everything good?
Okay. Okay.
Are you out of your fucking mind?
He's lucrative.
He's real lucrative. I saw that, like, MTV. Oh, MTV Real Life thing. They did that with a guy where he was like, I'm not gay. And these six guys, I'm about to blow these six guys.
Oh, I saw camera. That. I saw that.
Dude, and they were all clowning him. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Because
they were all openly gay, and they were like, dude, you're sucking our dick today.
Right.
And he's like, I'm getting fucking, I'm getting super lucrative
and
today.
And he had a girlfriend, too. And his girlfriend was like, I don't like it, but it's what his job is. And his girlfriend was like kind of homely, and he was a good-looking guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember the line that he had to say in the video, anal sex is the bomb. That's what he had to say before these dudes ran a train on him.
Fuck, man.
He's just getting lucrative.
Getting lucrative.
How lucrative do you get? I get pretty lucrative.
Oh, man. how crazy does shit get in a Vegas strip club on fight weekend?
This girl, man, I wished we had more time.
Yeah.
So she could tell me more crazy stories like
that.
Yeah,
more lucrative stories.
It's just a term. How lucrative do you get?
What's that, stripper? There's a stripper feed? Like what strippers said or something, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. God damn
That's pretty funny.
I met one of the guys that is who works for that feed has a buddy that fights in the UFC. And so I go back and forth with that dude sometimes on Twitter because I follow them.
Yeah. Stripper genius.
Yes. Some of this shit is hilarious on that feed.
I can't wait to be completely done dancing because I'm sick of digging my fucking T-bar out of my ass crack all night.
That's kind of mild.
Yeah, it's mild.
But there's some good ones in there.
There's some good ones in here.
Stripper genius. Follow that on the Twitter.
I'm with my new guy, so no more masturbating for me. Okay.
Here it is. Maybe if you ate a burger, you'd have some ass and titties. I've done cocaine with a lot of rock stars. Too many, really.
I'm sorry if my breath smells like tomatoes and liquor. I like that. There's too many bitches and not enough sluts. Amen, sister.
Fucking booty calling a hoe just to get bitched out is depressing and amusing.
All
right.
I'd suck a dick for some pizza right now. These are all good.
They're not bad. There's good ones in there, but you got to fish for them.
Yeah.
They should post less quality over quantity.
Right.
Because some of those are just not that interesting.
Yeah.
But some of them are. But the good thing is, they're all real. Like, they're not, like, it's not like a comedy writer who's, like, trying to find out what the funniest shit that a stripper could say. So they should use that on Stripper Genius, though. How lucrative are you willing to get?
Please. How lucrative do you get?
I get put in lucrative.
Oh, man.
You imagine a girl with, like, a Rosie Perez accent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the perfect person to say it. I get real lucrative.
How lucrative are you willing to get?
Getting lucrative.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Put that phone down, Tommy.
Okay, okay.
You're addicted. You're searching for more, right?
Yes, super addicted.
Ari Shaffir has a really good fucking point. I'm not following him into the abyss of the flip phone, but he's like, in the morning.
In the morning, I would waste a half an hour. Every morning, I just get up, I check Facebook, I check my Twitter.
He's right.
Yeah.
He's right. I do it. I take my morning shit. I get excited. Bring that phone into the bathroom.
I do the exact same thing. That shit, I'll walk towards the bathroom and be like, oh, I forgot that shit. Turn around.
Because there's some people's Twitter feeds that are fun. I want to follow them. And there's always like some new news story, some interesting thing that's going on.
I get most of my news from a Twitter feed. You know?
In the bathroom.
Yeah, because I'll follow breaking news, New York Times. Like, what's going on right now? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, RIP Wes Craven. Fuck, that's how I found out Wes
Craven
died.
Oh, the trending stuff, for sure.
That's how I found Robin Williams died. RIP Robin Williams. I was like, what?
Yeah.
No way. That one didn't feel real.
Yeah.
I remember I saw that written down.
Oh, man.
R.I.P. Robin Williams. I was like, what?
It's crazy that 1 year just passed on that. I couldn't believe it.
It flew, right?
Yeah, it did.
That's one thing that you'll find, especially once your kid is born. Time accelerates every year quicker.
Yeah.
Every year. Like,
your kids were babies, like, I feel like yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Yeah. And your kids, it's going to be the same thing with you. And then one day they're going to be off to college.
So
or
crazy.
Off, you know, being an adult.
How old now? How old are you?
7 and 5. The young ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird. It's real weird watching other people's kids grow up, too. And also, here's another thing that's weird. Watching people's bad parenthood skills manifest themselves in their kids.
You see it.
I have a friend who's got a fucking 8-year-old that still sucks his thumb. And he thinks it's okay. He's like, it's no big deal. I go, no, it's a big deal. Like, your kid's sucking his thumb.
Yeah.
Like, this is not, like, healthy behavior. You're not supposed to be sucking your thumb when you're 8.
Yeah.
Your kid's going to get fucked with.
Yeah.
He's going to get fucked with by other kids in school if he's not already getting fucked with. Like, that's just weird.
You start, I started paying attention more. You know, you start to key into things more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're at a restaurant, and now when we see, like, you're sitting next to a table where it's a family, and they have the kid, and the kid's, like, 7, 8, and he's on an iPad. With the volume up, so either watching a video or playing a game, and you're hearing pew pew pew, and you're sitting, and you're like, they are teaching him that that's okay, like, be entitled, be oblivious. I'm like, how are you not telling him we're in a restaurant right now? You know, at least if you're gonna check out and play games, bring the. No one wants to hear the explosions.
Yeah,
but I start to pick up on that more, like. That's why that when that guy grows up and he's oblivious to, like, whoa, what's everyone's problem that I'm doing fucking whatever I want, no matter who's around me all the time, because they put it in him. They let him know that it's okay. No one told him, like, no, you have to be considerate of the people around you.
Well, electronics are so unnatural, too. We all love them. You know, everybody loves a good movie, or everybody loves to look at their phone or check their email. It's for whatever reason, it's compelling. But they're so unnatural that when you're all sitting around a dinner table and there's 5 people and everyone's like staring at an iPad.
You see it all the time now. Yeah.
At least a phone.
Yeah.
You know, but for little kids, what it is their kids are hard to tune into.
Right.
They care about shit you don't give a fuck about. Like, I took my kids out for breakfast this morning, and we're sitting around and we're coloring. You know, a lot of times when you go to a restaurant, they have a kids menu.
Right.
And they give you some crayons. So we're drawing, you know, and they want to, but she's like, can I play with your phone? I'm like, no, let's just do this. Let's just do this. Let's do this. But that fucking phone is better.
What age do you give them a phone?
I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good question. I think that age changes. When,
right.
Yeah. There's a new thing that they have for kids. It's like a wristband, like almost like a watch type thing that has a tracking device on it. Tell you where your kids are all the time, and there's a button they press on it where it will call you. Only you. It's not a phone, but it'll call you. Like, Dad, you left me over by Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm lost. And then you got to go find your kid.
Do they have that?
Yeah.
Wow.
They have that.
Wow, that's cool.
And then, like, that's step one. But then your kid's going to be calling you all the time.
Yeah.
Pressing that button. Dad, I hate second grade. It's bullshit. Dad. Yeah. Dad, I don't want to go to school. Dad.
You're going to get that a lot.
Or not. Maybe they love it.
That's true. Yeah, they could.
The idea that a kid is supposed to be thinking about what they want to do for their future, though, is crazy. Like, there's people that are prepping their kid for whatever.
I remember that.
Future.
I remember kids I went to school with that were being prepped for med school in elementary school.
So I think it's kind of fucked up for you and I more than anybody else, especially because we actually love what we do, and yeah. What we do is so discouraged.
Yeah, true.
Like,
yeah.
Nobody says, Tommy, you should really be a stand-up comedian.
No.
Just start fucking with your teachers now.
Yeah.
Is there any kid in class that really stands out as being annoying? Can you imitate him?
Yeah.
Start imitating him and put him in ridiculous scenarios, like in Napoleon's army. You know, put him. Start doing impressions.
If you think of something funny to say in a really serious moment in class, just blurt that shit out.
Yeah. That's if you can get a laugh in class.
That was the
during math class. Oh, that was the greatest thing of all
time. We had a thing in when I was in fifth grade where, like, if you got in trouble in the first part of the day, you didn't get to go to recess. You know, and recess is like
everything.
Recess is like, hey, do you want to go to Fiji to adults, right? Like, when you're a kid, they're just like, recess is the fucking shit. And I remember, like, biting my lower lip, be like, oh, if I say this, I'm going to get taken out of recess. But then I'd be like, just say it anyways. And then it's like, no recess, you know? But, like, it was worth it to make everybody in stupid class laugh.
I wasn't funny in school, like, with things I said, but I would draw things that were funny. I would draw cartoons. Like, we had this guy, Mr. White. Mr. White was crazy. He went to Vietnam, and bad things happened to him over there.
Really?
Apparently, yeah, he was shell-shocked. That's what we used to call it back then, before they used to call it PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a real tiny guy. He was, like, 5'2". So every time I would draw him standing on a box or standing on a chair or standing on a stool. And he would... like, someone asked for a pencil once, and he goes, you want a pencil? He goes, come here. Come over here. And he takes the drawer from his desk, he yanks it out, it's got pencils in it, and slams it on the ground. And he goes, take one of those pencils.
Holy shit.
And everybody was like, what the fuck? And we all knew that this guy had been to Vietnam. Like, this, he would talk about it occasionally, you know?
That's pretty terrifying to do the...
He was, you know, in a good school system, too. This was Newton South High School, okay? So Newton South High School is like, they did bus kids in from bad neighborhoods, and that was an issue, because they did bring these kids in from, like, Dorchester and Mattapan, like, really bad neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And there was definitely a difference between those, and everybody was like these lambs of these suburban lambs, and then these urban wolves that would come into the city. But it wasn't too bad, you know, like, it wasn't like gangs or anything crazy. And this was like, I went to high school, I graduated in 85, and that was before, like, rap music.
Mm-hmm.
It was before, like, Straight Outta Compton and all that crazy shit where things, like, escalated.
Right.
Like, violence and, like, rap music, no matter what anybody says, absolutely perpetrated, like, a different sort of acceptable mentality or a different sort of behavior that they aspire towards. That wasn't going on when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in high school, like, Sugar Hill Gang was, like, the big thing.
Right.
That was, like, junior high school.
I said hip,
hop, hip to the hip, hip hop. It wasn't that kind of, the kind of music that was... You know, it just wasn't gangster rap.
Right.
Like, gangster rap sort of changed
things. Big Bang Hank.
Forget what my point was. They weren't that bad. And this guy, Mr. White, was growing up in this neighborhood.
Right.
And in this neighborhood, it really was, you know, it wasn't like a dangerous place.
Sure.
But he would fucking freak out. And he was a good dude, though. He was a really nice guy, and he was a very smart guy, too. Like, I had some really interesting conversations with him. He was very aware, but he just had a trigger he took a joke really well, though. I'll tell you that, man. He never got upset at my cartoons.
Really?
He laughed. Thought they were funny, man. He was a smart dude, but...
It's funny when you grow up to think of your teachers as people, as opposed to, like, when you're a student and a kid.
Yeah.
Teachers are like, you know, you don't imagine your parents are people. they're your parents.
Mm-hmm.
And teachers have like that special place that like that's Mr. White, you know,
yeah.
And you say their names, like, I don't know, like it just, then you grow up and you're like, oh, that was a miserable fucking guy. Like he
yeah.
hated, like I remember teachers that were just hate, like clearly hated teaching, you know?
Yeah. Hated there was life. A lot of those, man.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, you know, there's no money in it. There's no money in it. You imagine just dealing with a new crop of asshole teenagers
oh, God.
Every year that don't give a fuck about you. But I, you know, one of the things that really bummed me out, man, was people that would say like negative shit to kids and not realize the impact that negative shit has on
yeah.
them. Like, I've told this before, I think, when I was in, this was the only laugh I think I ever got in high school in a class, but I got kicked out for it. My teacher, she was black and she had a terrible accent and she was teaching math.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was not paying attention. And, probably talking. And she goes, Mr. Rogan, would you like to come up here and do both of these questions for this class? And I said, would you like me to do both of those questions? And the fucking, it was like, there was like a pause, like, no, he didn't. And then, bah! Like everybody started. And then she goes, you know, she kicks me out and she goes, don't laugh. Go ahead. You know, Mr. Rogan is going nowhere in life. I'll tell you this right now. And then she kicked me out of class. I remember thinking that, like, what a rude thing to say to a 14-year-old who, by the way, you may be teaching math, but
yeah.
you might want to work on English.
Yeah.
Because that's not how you say both.
Yeah,
you don't
yeah.
say both. There's not an F in there. So when you say both, and I did was say, would you like me to do both of those questions?
Yeah, yeah.
I said it the way you talk, and I got in trouble for that.
Right.
Well, that seems pretty fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
If you're... accent is so bad that all I have to do is imitate it and it gets a giant laugh in the class. You know what I did and I know what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole class knows what I did. I corrected your shitty way of talking
yeah.
and that got me kicked out. And not just kicked out, like I'm going nowhere in life.
It's a fucked up thing to say. I remember
it didn't work, but it could have.
It could. I know I witnessed a teacher tell a kid you're nothing and you're not going to amount to anything. And it was in a moment of rage. Like I could see
whoa.
The kid had just gotten in big trouble. So it was like, he was flipping out. But
what did the kid get in big trouble for?
We were on a, like a school trip and he had fucked around with the air conditioning at a public place. Like, and he said it at 90. So he set the heat on, but he was kind of he was a troubled kid.
Right.
And this teacher said that to him, man. I remember all of us that were in the room, because we weren't all, it was only like 10 of us when this guy came in to like, to yell at him. We all just stared at the ground because he was so full of rage when he said it to this kid, but he really went, I mean, he went in hard. I'm not even doing a fraction of it. And he was like, you're not shit and you're not going to amount to shit.
Ooh.
We were all like, what the fuck?
Yeah. He's treating that kid like a grown up.
Yeah.
How old were they?
The kids?
Yeah.
We were I think juniors in high school. So we were, oh, I mean, okay. we were old 15s. Enough. Yeah, yeah, but like it still was fucked up to
that's
say.
Fucked up.
Yeah. Fucked up, man.
Ooh, that's 16? Yeah, 16.
Yeah. 16 to 17.
You know, God. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know what, man? Some of those guys are just there's PTSD in being a teacher too, man.
For
the
sure.
amount of stress and pressure that you have to deal with.
And that's then you're trying to raise your family and everything on that bullshit salary they give
bullshit
you.
Bullshit salary.
Yeah.
That's why when you get a good one, it's so memorable. I had a really, really good English teacher. A really
yeah.
good English teacher and a really good Spanish teacher. The English teacher was so nice. She was so nice and everybody loved her and they got psyched when they got her.
Yeah.
Because she was like, she would talk like she was an older lady. When I was in high school, I gotta imagine she was probably in her late 50s to early 60s. And she would talk about sex and she would talk about like romance. And, you know, like how, you know, she was like talking about like literary works and then she would talk about how it applies and like what you're going to experience in your own life.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be times in your own life where you just think that this is everything and this person's everything to you. And those are wonderful moments. She goes, but they're transient and sometimes they go away, especially when you're young. You're young and you're having sex with each other and people are like, what the fuck is she saying?
Yeah, yeah.
We couldn't believe it. She's saying yeah. we're having sex. And she's like, and then, you know, that person might have sex with somebody else and you're just going to be devastated. But maybe they're just going to love you more once they do that. you know, maybe they'll make that mistake and then it'll just make them appreciate and accept you more. But some people can't, they can't deal with that. They can't deal with that. And I remember her saying that. I was like, whoa, this is deep shit.
That's pretty deep.
High school English class. This old lady's talking about fucking people. And cheating, too.
Yeah, jealousy and everything.
And how silly it all was and how in perspective. But she was trying to, you know, give us like some, I forget what the work that she was referring to, like what book we were talking or what stories we were discussing that made her bring that up. But I remember thinking like, wow, this lady just dropped some experience knowledge. Like, I never forgot her saying that, like that, you know, when someone leaves you or someone cheats on you, it'll feel like the most devastating thing ever. But they might really just feel better because of, like, they might love you more because of that. It might be better for your relationship after that's over.
She went through some shit, man.
Yeah, she must have. Yeah. She must have. But it was the way she was describing it to the class. I had a great Spanish teacher, too. Spanish teacher was awesome.
Yeah?
He's like, yeah, he was, like, friendly and fun, but then... After I graduated, I found out that he was banging students.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's why he was so friendly.
Yeah, he banged one of my friends.
Wow.
And she was 17. Yeah. He started banging her, like, as she was a senior in high school. I think he banged her a little bit as she was graduating,
Balls. Was he American?
Before. Yep. Yeah.
How old was he?
He was a handsome guy. I wish I knew. I would have to say, you know, obviously I was 17, so he was an adult. I would say he's in his 20s, maybe.
Okay, so that's relatively a young teacher, though.
Yeah, probably like 20. I mean, graduated from college, so he has to be like 23,
but he's not 50.
24.
Like, no, you know what I mean? Not like...
he's probably 30, like 29, 30, okay. somewhere in that range. But I was surprised he was banging 17-year-olds. I was like, oh, Jesus, hey, man, buddy. I mean, look, in perspective, if he's 43 and the girl's 30, it's nothing.
Right, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah.
And your students are different than...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did he last long there? Do you know if he's...
I don't remember. No. I don't know. I don't... You know, once I was gone, I was gone, man. When I graduated from high school, I fucking graduated. I mean, I never even went back and got my diploma. I didn't go to my graduation.
Really?
I didn't even want it. I was like, I don't want to have anything to do with this place. I just wanted to be free.
Get out of there.
I wanted to be... I just knew whatever they were selling, whatever they were pushing, whatever mold they were trying to get me to fit in, it was unacceptable. And I had to figure out what... I had to, like, detox from whatever they did to me. And it wasn't their fault. It's like, they're just teaching. That's what every kid experiences when they're being forced into doing something they don't want to do, along with the pressure of growing up, along with the pressure... you know, whatever your parents are putting on you, what expectations your family might have. And with me, there's a lot of expectations with the people that I knew. Like, a lot of the kids that I was going to school with, they were all set up for college, and they all had these ideas of what they were going to do, and I was lost. I was like, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was competing in martial arts tournaments, but I knew there was like a limited amount of future with that. I was like, where can I take this? You know, I knew that eventually, if I kept going too, I was going to get brain damage. I was probably already getting a little bit of it. And I was like, if I keep going, I'm going to wind up fucked in the head. Like, I'm going to wind up slurring my words or something.
Really?
Fuck yeah, for sure. Especially once I started kickboxing. But I also knew that a job, like an office job, fucking unacceptable, man. I can't do it. I just won't. I have too much energy, or I have too much impatience, or something. I mean, I'm not going to be able to sit down. So I just had to wait until I got out of there to try to take a deep breath. I took a year off, didn't do anything for a year, just worked and competed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started going to UMass Boston for just like, they had like a continuing education program. Like, you didn't have to take your SATs.
Yeah.
I never took my SATs.
Yeah.
So I just went and I did that for 3 years. And then I was like, I'm just wasting my time. Fucking complete waste.
I knew that in an office, it would be, I think, my literal death. I could feel the depression of it setting in, you know, like all, especially because it was, I think it's a lot of it. It's not that working in an office is the worst. It's that it wasn't meaningful work. It wasn't anything that I cared about.
And right.
Any of the office jobs I had were just something to do, because you're supposed to have a job. And
what did you think you wanted to do when you were in high school? Like, when you're like, okay, Tommy, you're 17, you're about to graduate. What do you want to do?
I knew I wanted to do comedy. But I
really?
Yeah, but I didn't know I wanted to do stand-up. I really thought that, I think it's because what's accessible or what seemed accessible or like the thing that I responded to was watching movies, you know, and so I thought I would be a comedic actor of some kind, you know, like that's what I thought.
Who was your favorite?
I loved like the, you know,
Belushi.
No.
Aykroyd.
I liked him. I liked Bill Murray a lot, and I liked Eddie Murphy. Like those were kind of like my two favorites as a kid.
Of course.
You know, so like I thought everything, both of their schools are like their styles are really different, but to me they were like and Chevy Chase and stuff, like those guys were like the funniest fucking guys to me.
Whatever happened to Bob and Doug McKenzie?
Bob and Doug McKenzie.
Do you remember the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids guy?
Oh,
that fucking
yeah.
guy with the glasses?
Yeah.
And then there was the other, they had a show.
Isn't that Rick Moranis?
Yes.
He quit acting.
What happened with that guy?
He quit acting because he just didn't want to be, that's what I read. He didn't want to be in the he thought the business was ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people that feel like that.
Yeah.
You just get to that certain point where you just like, don't want to have anything to do with
it. I think
he
moved to like a, you know, just not off the grid really, but like just away from L.A. and
Just done.
Just
what he does for a living?
I did too. I wonder. I forget. I read an article about him, about how
he just
starring in movies and then was just like, fuck this, over it.
It's interesting that some people do, they have that wake up moment where like, okay, well, this is not what I wanted to do. It's not what I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm doing it, I got to get out of this.
Yeah. I mean, if you're working entertainment too, especially like on the acting, you know, directing side of thing. Like if you're like one of the, I could see how there's so much nonsense involved in the business side of that it's very, at some point I could, you know, you could be very talented and not be working at it and be like, what am I doing? Just trying to get into the system, you know?
Yeah. Well, it seems unattainable.
Yeah.
And when things seem unattainable, you think you want them.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, you think you do.
Well, that's what I think happens to a lot of people when they get that reality show fame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they think, they look at it, they're like, if I was famous, boy, everything could be great. And then, you know, you wind up being one of the housewives that's like on the cover of the magazines. And then you realize how many fucking people hate you.
Yeah.
And the anger. Have you ever like seen like the TMZ comments when one of those like Real Housewives gets in trouble? Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah. You're hated, yeah.
Monsters out there that are focusing their rage for whatever disappointment they have in their life on you because you're the chick on the housewife with the fake lips.
And to a certain extent, too, this is something more like they became about in the last, I feel like, 15, 20 years, which is that being famous for the sake of being famous,
yeah,
really is a curse. You know, it's a highly pursued thing now where people are just like, being famous has got to be the best thing ever. But when there's nothing behind the reason that you're known, I feel like that's just a fucking empty black hole.
But is it as much of a black hole as growing up in poverty in a bad neighborhood in L.A.? Like, if you look at those kids that you saw in those projects that are in this trap,
they're
stuck in this awful neighborhood, crime-infested community, is that a worse life? Or is it a worse life to be Kim Kardashian, where everybody just shits in your mouth everywhere you go?
Well, they shit in her mouth as she gets on a Gulfstream G650.
Exactly.
You know, so it's like, yeah, it's like, I understand the
but
question.
To her face, too. Do you think to her face they're mean? I bet they're not.
No, they're not.
I bet there's a lot of ass.
She's had some mean things probably yelled at her, but there's no way people are as brutal as they are online as to her face. No way.
Yeah. Even those people that are brutal to her online,
yeah,
if they met her and they were in front of her.
Yeah.
That's why the interaction with people online is like so flawed.
Yeah.
I was reading a mean blog about someone the other day, and I was like, I wonder how this person would feel if they were sitting down with this guy, having a conversation with him.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if they would write, if they would say the same type of shit that they wrote when the person can respond. It's like writing a mean blog about someone is really like the coward's way out. It really is in a lot of ways, because you're addressing someone that can't address you back. In some sort of well, then again, so is shitting on them in a podcast or shitting on them doing stand up.
Yeah,
at least, well, that's I was gonna say. At least we're trying to be entertaining, but I guess they're trying to be entertaining when they write a blog too.
Yeah, they are. They're trying to get something out of them.
We were talking before the show about that girl who made that video about fat shaming.
Yeah. Yeah. I only know about it because I saw a tweet. Again, going back to like the entertainment of it, like I saw a tweet. I saw the response video that Sean Halpin made.
I haven't seen that.
It was pretty funny, man. Really funny.
Let's play that. First of all, I watched part of the video this morning. It should have been edited. I got her point after like the first few minutes. Yeah. But I thought it was good. It was okay, you know?
Yeah. Well,
she's hot. You know. She's hot. That's part of the problem.
Right.
She's shitting on fat people, and she's got a perfect body and a beautiful face and big old titties.
Yeah.
Hi.
But this is like, you know, I guess she makes, I don't know, YouTube videos.
Yeah.
But
well, look, there's a fucking business in making these goddamn YouTube videos.
For sure there are.
The Comedy Store, next door, they have that hotel where they use the side of the hotel as a billboard.
Mm-hmm.
And they paint stuff on it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge one that was all just this YouTube page for this girl that I don't know who she is, but she has 2 million followers on YouTube, and YouTube has decided to take out giant billboards on the Sunset Strip that show people that have more than 1 million followers. So they have like X amount of million.
Wow.
Yeah, and she has more than one, this one girl. I don't remember her name at all, but like it's her with like some cheese puffs. I don't, you know, it's like it's trying to be wacky. But there's several of them. I've seen several of them. So there's, if you can be entertaining, like this girl hit the fucking jackpot with this video. Because we're talking about it.
Right.
It's on Twitter. A lot of people are talking about it. Sean Halpern, doesn't it?
Sean Halpern. By the way, Halpern? I'm not Sean Halpern, if anyone's watching.
You're
this.
Way better looking than him. I don't give a fuck what everybody says. Let's play it. Let's see what their response.
Got my Kesha hair today. You don't know if this is hairspray or semen.
No, pretty sure that's semen.
Dear fat people.
Yes? What do you have to tell us?
Ah, some people are already really mad at this video.
Yeah, because I'm mad about your shitty act outs. Ah!
What are you going to do, fat people?
I'm going to sit here and wait for you to tell me a hacky fat joke.
What are you going to do? What are you going to chase me? Really? You're going to chase me?
No, I only chase after taco trucks and people that are relevant.
It's going to be like fucking Frankenstein.
Frankenstein wasn't fat. He was slow. Oh, I see what you're doing. You're comparing. Someone took a comedy class.
Yeah, can you act out being a zombie so we can get the whole sci-fi crowd and nerds behind you?
I can get away from you by walking at a reasonable pace.
Is that a snake? Oh no, it's just your lisp.
Frankenstein? Not so fast. Zombies have apparently gotten faster.
Oh, we're talking about zombies now? You're way off from your original message.
I watched like 3 episodes of The Walking Dead, and not being slow myself in the
big
brain.
Big tits.
Yeah.
That's all I'm looking at.
Realize that every single episode is exactly the same.
What, you mean killing zombies? That's what the show's about, dummy.
Oh no, they need something. But it's all the way over there.
Where the zombies
are.
Yeah,
she has big tits.
Yes, because that's what the show's about. And why is this being shot like an American Apparel ad?
Fat shaming is not a thing.
Fat shaming? It's not a thing? Why don't you tell that to the teenagers that killed themselves because people were fat shaming them? Oh, you can't because they're dead.
Fat people
oh,
made
shit.
That up.
Yeah, it's probably made up. Probably made up by the same person that told you you have talent.
That's the race card with no race.
Oh, now you're bringing race into it. Oh, and can I get a shitty act out?
Yeah, but I couldn't fit into a store. That's discrimination.
Nailed it.
No, that means you're too fat and you should stop eating.
Hey. Can someone shut this bitch up? Drop that shitty act out!
Everybody just needs to make more sense! There's a race card, there's a disability card, there's even a gay card.
A race card, a disability card, a gay card. This bitch better not have a SAG card.
Because gay people are discriminated against, wrongfully so.
No way!
The gay card's covered in glitter. It's fucking magical.
Oh, I hope you choke on a glow stick. Hope somebody beats you with a unicorn. Hope somebody takes those 3 cards you're talking about and shoves them up your...
Are you gonna tell the doctor that they're being mean and fat-shaming you when they say you have fucking heart disease?
No, because he's a professional. And he's saying it to my face. He's not on social media making dumb blanket statements.
I'm not talking about people who have a little bit of cushion for the pushing. And if there's people watching this with a specific health condition, this is not aimed at you.
You just talked about someone who might have heart disease.
I'm talking about the 35% of North Americans who are obese.
spell obese. I dare you. I dare you. You got one letter right.
That means you are so fat. You are affecting your own health.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think
she's not
we get
a doctor, but I bet she played one in a porno.
Big boned isn't a thing. Never said
it was. Okay.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you make something like that, right?
Yeah, of
you
course.
You open yourself up to that,
dude. When you make anything, you know, you're open. Like, you know, I've
whoa. Does that say Damon Wayans defends Bill Cosby?
Yeah, you didn't hear about that?
Shut the fuck up!
Oh, you should have heard.
Hold on a second. What is that? Hold on.
He was on the Breakfast Club the other day.
Come on, just pull that up,
dude.
That can't be real. It was just on the headline thing. You know, they have that little headline thing. Yeah, the drop down. I guess entertainment. Go to entertainment. Cecil the Lion Killer's backdoor. There it is. Damon Wayans defends Bill Cosby. After this, we're going to go
to Cecil.
He calls
the accusers unrapeable.
Oh, no, he didn't say that.
He did.
No.
Yeah.
No. You know who else defended him?
Who?
Chuck D. Chuck D called him all the accusations against Dr. Cosby. That's what he said. Dr. Cosby. Which, by the way. First of all, he's not a fucking doctor. It's an honorary doctorate. You can't call him Dr. Cosby when a university gives you an honorary doctorate for fucking showing up and being nice. It gives a lot of attention and promotion.
Did Chuck do that recently?
Yes, very recently.
Really?
I was shocked. He was talking about the conspiracy against Dr. Cosby.
Come on.
No, I'm not kidding. And I'm a huge Chuck D fan. Huge Public Enemy fan. But I don't know, man. Fuck, man. Tell the truth, Wayne said about his advice for the Cosby Show star. If I was him, I would divorce my wife, give her all my money, and then I would go do a deposition. I would light one of those 3-hour cigars, and I'd have some wine and maybe a Quaalude. And I would just go off because I don't believe that he was raping. I believe he was in relationships with all of them. And then he was like, you know what? It's 78. It don't work like that no more. I can't get it up for any of y'all. Bye, bitches. And then they're like, oh, really? Rape. Was he just trying to be funny?
I mean,
it's hard.
It's hard to know, yeah.
Okay, Power 105's Breakfast Club. Is that dude Charlemagne?
Yeah.
That guy is like, his whole show is like talking shit and like having fun. And,
the God, yeah.
Yeah, so he's just trying to probably be...
Wait, good.
Funny.
So he calls it's a money hustle.
See, I think you should listen to this. This is one of those things where I definitely don't think that
there's
you should
full
ever.
Full audio of it for
well,
sure.
Let's play the audio because I don't think, like, I'm doing it a shitty version of it because it's just like I don't think that he, you know, I have a really hard time believing that he actually said that. That's fucking crazy. Just find the actual thing of it, and then we'll go back to it. Do you have the ability to only have the audio in your head so you can listen to it? No? What the fuck kind of a studio do we have here, Jamie?
If you type in Breakfast Club, will it?
Yeah. Well, I think he found it. He just has to isolate the audio. That's crazy that he said that, though. Jeez, that is career suicide.
I think
suicide
he was kind of serious, though, because then he also was like... Yeah, I'll just let you play. It was pretty crazy.
Did you hear it?
I read it. I read a full like transcript. I didn't hear it.
It's hard because
it's hard.
Damon is really funny. Damon Wayans is one of the most underrated comedians like almost ever. Damon Wayans at one point in time, I know he got off of it and decided to like do more acting. He was in The Last Boy Scout. He had made some like really big movies and he was doing real well and it was coming off of In Living Color and he was on his way to superstardom to the point where he did one of his HBO specials, I think, was called Damon Wayans' Last Stand. Mm-hmm. And when it was over, he threw the mic down and said, like, this is my last stand-up I'm ever going to do. Mm-hmm. Boom. And he threw the mic down and walked away. And I remember thinking, like, well, you can't stop. Like,
you're so good.
He's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
At the time, he was, like, one of my all-time favorites. And I just, you don't hear him doing stand-up that much anymore. You don't hear of it.
I did a show, though, it was, like, probably 9 months ago. At Flappers,
mm-hmm.
And then they're like, hey, because it was like my show, they're like, do you mind if Damon Wayans does a spot next?
Hold on.
And I go, no, and he came in and just did a spot.
Before you?
No, right after me.
Oh, yeah, after's fun.
Yeah.
But before you, that guy does long sets. Like, he used to show up at the Comedy Store, and, like, at the height of his fame, he would go up and do, like, 45 minutes out of nowhere.
He was doing, like, he was really doing a workout set, like a real workout set, mm-hmm. and it was really funny. Like, it wasn't, like, fully polished bits yet, but it was really funny.
No, he fucks around a lot. Yeah. He takes a lot of chances.
Yeah.
He's funny, man. He. I used to see him a lot when I was coming up at the Comedy Store in the 90s, and he would come by and do those long sets. And this was like I said, at the height of his stardom. But I think the sitcom world lured him away, man.
Because that was crazy money.
Yeah.
Because he had that. What was that last sitcom that he did? That ran for like a while.
It ran for a while.
My Wife and Kids or something. Mm-hmm. That ran for a while.
But nobody gave a fuck about it.
No.
I mean, I'm sure the people watching it might have given a fuck about it, but in comparison to, like, what he's capable of with a stand-up?
Yeah, yeah.
It's no he's comparison.
Yeah, he's a monster.
He could have been, I think, one of the all-time greats. I really do believe that. I really do believe that. I think he could have been like Chappelle. I think he could have been right out there with all those guys.
That lure is strong. When you're, imagine what his quote was.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
going into that show.
Stupid, stupid money.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's fucking hard, man.
Yeah.
They get lured into that. Or well, who knows, man? Maybe he just decided that's what he wanted to do. Maybe the idea of doing stand-up all the time wasn't appealing to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know, man. You know what?
Yeah.
But it's just, I see a guy like that, and I go, wow, that's kind of crazy, because he's, like, easily one of the all-times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
During the day, back in the day. And then you see him now, and just, I never hear about him anymore. I never hear about him, like, doing like a stadium somewhere.
They said, I mean, I don't know if this was true, but I remember hearing multiple people say that Eddie Murphy, when he stopped doing stand-up, was saying that, like, I don't want to even have to compete with Damon Wayans. Like, yeah. I heard people say that's what Eddie Murphy thought of Damon Wayans. That he was like, that dude's the funniest fucking guy.
He was so good, dude. I remember seeing him nights at the Comedy Store with like 50 people in the audience just crushing.
Yeah.
And be inspired, thinking, fuck, this guy's so good.
He's one of those
so good.
Like, it's an overused term, but he's just a naturally funny guy, right? Like, he's a guy, I feel like, that can just kind of talk about anything and be funny.
Well, he works at it, for sure. I mean, it's hard to say naturally funny when the guy's doing sets all the time.
True, true.
You know, we all know that that's the way that everything gets polished up, but
yeah.
I had heard that, I don't know if this is true, so I probably shouldn't even be saying it, but I had heard that he had installed a stage in his house.
Come on.
Yeah, that he put a stage, like he installed like a little mini comedy club in his house, like to fuck around and practice.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds crazy.
It does sound crazy, but why is that crazy, but someone installing a music studio in their house isn't crazy?
That's true. I get, but because I think it's the idea that you need like pretty much strangers to be at your comedy show, you know? Like you need an audience,
mm-hmm.
where a studio, that's where you do your work, doesn't matter where it's located. Like, are you just going to have people like RSVP to my house this weekend, man?
Well, maybe he would practice in front of nobody, and maybe he would have his family sit down and listen. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah. Practicing in front of nobody is kind of a weird thing, right? Like, I've heard people tell me, a lot of times I've heard people go, hey, man, I'm trying to get into stand-up. Like, what should I do? And I'm like, well, you know, get on stage. Like, I do it a lot. I'm like, where do you do it? Like, at home. Like, I'll stand in front of the mirror and do it there. I'm like, oh.
You need
an audience, man.
I recorded all my ideas, like, as stand-up bits before I ever did them. Mm-hmm. I had, like, a tape recorder, one of those little press buttons, you know, and you record. But it was, you know, when I was, I never even did stand-up yet, so it was my idea of what stand-up should sound like with my
tapes. Where are those tapes? Oh, I'd love to get a hold of those. How's everybody doing?
It was awful, I'm sure.
Oh, my
but
God.
I only did it, like, before I did stand-up. Once I did my first open mic night, I stopped doing it.
Do you record ideas still in your, like, your phone?
Yes, I record ideas. But more often than that, instead of recording them, I do record them, but I talk into the voice thing. I talk into this, you know, you have the voice notes or the notes app.
Yeah.
You know you could talk to it?
No.
Oh, dude, check this out. See this little button right here?
Yeah.
Tom Segura is a bad motherfucker. Bam.
Oh, that's in notes?
Yep.
How the fuck have I ever done that?
Oh, it's amazing. Ridiculous. So I'm in my car. If I'm in my car and I have an idea, I'll either record it, which I'll sometimes do, or I will just say the note, and it'll type it out for you. But there's some stuff that's lost and like writing things down as opposed to like hearing it. So did you isolate what he said? Yeah. Okay.
Joe Rogan just taught me how this shit works. Oh, man.
Isn't that amazing? It's so accurate now.
For real.
It would.
Yeah. Now, what advice would you give Bill Cosby now if you could tell him, this is what you need to do?
Die.
Did he say die?
Die.
No, tell the truth. If I was him, I would divorce my wife, wink, wink, give her all my money, and then I would go do a deposition. I'd light one of them 3-hour cigars. I'd have me some wine and maybe a Quaalude. And I would just go off because I don't believe that he was raping. I think he was in relationships with all of them. Mm. And then he's like, you know what? It's 78. It don't work no more. I can't get it up for any of y'all. Bye, bitches. Mm-hmm. And now they're like, oh, really? Rape. Because, I mean,
so you think he had 50-year relationships?
40 years. You listen, how big is his penis that it give you amnesia for 40 years?
Well, no, in all fairness, some women did come out previously. Some women did go ahead previously and come out and give their stories, and we didn't hear. There's a couple of them that did, you know, a couple of decades ago. So
yeah, but
he never was charged with anything.
Right, but if you listen to them talk, they go, well, the first time, bitch, how many times did it happen? Yeah. Just listen to what they're saying. And some of them really is unrapeable. When you look, I look at him and go, no, what? You don't want that. Get out of here.
And Charlamagne gets up and he's laughing. He stops.
Get up, get out of here.
No, but I understand the dynamics of
people. They might have been hot in their younger days.
No, you can tell, dude.
Some of them are models and actresses, but I understand the dynamic of people saying, well, why were you alone with him? Or why were you in that room? Or why did you go upstairs with him? And then people look at you in a certain way, and you're like, man, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe that's my fault.
Look, I understand fame. I've lived it. Women will throw themselves at you. They want, you know, they just want to be in your presence. There's some that innocently will come up there, but not 40-something women. They're not that naive. He's talking about in 1965, he just walked in someone's dressing room and put his penis in their mouth.
But then people are also looking at Bill Cosby and the persona that he has of like a mentor. Oh, I'm going to help you with your career. Some of them were on the Cosby show and would come into his dressing room.
You know what Bill Cosby did wrong? He started criticizing young black men.
Yep.
And then he lost us.
Yep.
And so we're not supporting him. And they see that opening. And so now, you know what? Attack him. Kill him. But the dude from Seventh Heaven, his show's still on TV.
Yep. That's very true what you said, because
Woody Allen's making
is that dude from Seventh Heaven show still on TV?
I thought they pulled that. I don't know.
If it was
hold on, pause that real quick.
Then I would.
Is that?
I think it's pulled. I think it got pulled.
It got pulled a while ago, I thought.
Yeah, is that true?
When that, I remember when that
the Seventh Heaven guy, he.
Collins, right?
He actually admitted that he raped young girls, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He admitted that he had sexually molested young girls.
Yeah.
Let's see. Seventh Heaven canceled.
Well, they stopped. I thought they even stopped airing the reruns.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Seventh Heaven was canceled. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's canceled. Yeah. But that guy's not in jail, right?
Don't know. I don't know.
Stephen Collins is his name. Let's see. Stephen. But I think, confesses sexual abuse. But that's December. Yeah, the last news of this was from over a year ago.
Uh-huh.
Wow. So it just, that's it. He got divorced. His divorce, this is the last piece of news, is that he got divorced. His divorce settled. And then his confession tape. Wasn't that a part of the divorce? Like the part of like why he got caught was that his wife...
She recorded him.
Recorded it. Yeah. She outed him because she was divorcing him. Well, who knows why she didn't. I hope she, you know, I hope she felt like he was a piece of shit, and that was part of the reasons why she did it. Settlement, a 50-50 split. As we previously reported, the pot is worth around $14 million. That guy had $14 million? What the hell, man? Imagine the poor woman living with some guy and he's fucking little kids.
Little kids.
God damn it. Yeah, that guy should be. It says the tape has made him unemployable, and therefore he should be socked with a big spousal support tab. I'm gonna, but they worked it out down to who got the furniture or whatever. The guy should be in jail. Period. Right?
Mm.
Just in jail. But this Cosby thing, like Damon Wayans' attitude about it is very strange. I don't agree with him at all. You know, I mean, what he said about Cosby criticizing young black men, that's fucking absolutely the truth. He should have shut his fucking mouth about that. But he should have shut his fucking mouth about that not because he was raping women, just because it's none of your fucking business, like who swears or who doesn't swear. You're denying the artistic integrity of like Richard Pryor or Dave Chappelle or any of these guys who swear.
I think he's also making a commentary about that Cosby was doing it to young black men in society, because that was a big thing for him in like the last the last 15-20 years. He even wrote a book with another guy, but he was like, you know, that famous like pull your pants, you have these ridiculous names. He gave like that kind of town hall speech, and he went into like really impoverished areas, and he's like, these names that you guys are, these aren't real names, like
right, Pookie, doing,
yeah, like just T-bone. Coming out, like, what's this Quantasha and shit,
yeah,
like,
oh Jesus.
So when he started to do that, people were like, well, here's a uber rich dude coming in telling us how to live our life,
right,
know? Telling us we're doing everything wrong. He lost a lot of fans with that.
I think he's definitely got a point with that.
Yeah,
but then when the other thing, the woman had a point about how Cosby had that mentor role.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he
yeah.
would he would have these people and say he was going to help their career. That's what they all said. Could you imagine though, if you were a young girl, like some 18-year-old girl, and Bill Cosby, who is, you know, 50 or 60 at the time, whatever the hell he was, brings you into his dressing room and says he's going to help your career, and then slips a fucking Quaalude into your drink, and you're passed out, and you wake up with your panties off, and Cosby's jizz dripping down your asshole, and you're like, what?
Dude, yeah.
You'd probably be so confused and so horrified.
And you know no one's going to believe you, too. That's, by the way, the whole thing about, like, I've heard a lot of people bring up the time between something happening and the accusation, very common with sexual assault to wait long periods of time because people feel shame and they feel like no one will believe them. They don't know what to do. It's really common. It's not unusual at all.
Well, that's the case with all rape, right?
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Sex crimes a lot of times don't go reported of that.
Yeah. It's the idea that they're unrapeable, though.
That's really fucked up.
He's trying to be funny. Yeah. He was trying to be funny there.
Yeah. I mean, can we see the rest of this? It's only like
Do you want to keep going?
Sure.
Okay.
They killed Bill Cosby. But being just sitting back looking at it, I just go, I just don't believe this. I think it's a money hustle.
What you say is true because social media, we're the loudest on social media. And social media is what really reignited that flame back of Bill
Hannibal
Cosby.
Burris.
That was Hannibal Burris.
Yep.
I wonder how he feels being the dude that destroyed Bill Cosby.
He should be, if Bill Cosby died, he should be charged with accessory to murder.
What?
Shut up, man.
But I always tell
accessory to murder.
But I always tell you
all the time.
I always tell you the story because I think, and for them to make jokes like that, that's something that was kind of like well known. You know, people heard that about Bill Cosby. I remember when I was really young, my mom told me that she knew somebody that Bill Cosby had drugged. And she told me that when I was a little kid. She brought that back up, too. But it was a story that had always floated around. That's why I think...
But here's the thing.
I don't know if I believe every single fifth of the 50 women, but I do believe that there's some...
There may be. And for them, my heart goes out to them. For anybody who was raped by Bill Cosby, I'm sorry. And I hope you get justice. You other bitches, look. He gave me 2 pills. Ain't nobody... He wasn't a doctor back then when they talking about he gave them 2 pills. It's like that was the drug of choice. Like Molly's is the drug of choice now. You know, like people do that to get in the mood. You know, I can't believe the girls never told him no,
but they never told him yes either. You got him drunk.
Or they woke up.
But what's the joy of sleeping, you know, banging somebody who's asleep?
Gotta ask Bill.
Well, and you know, people have done that. The date rape drug has been a popular thing, you know. So
that's just a ridiculous argument.
What is the?
What do you think about Hannibal Burris?
I wouldn't want to be him.
I know.
Because you know the thing is, you know, I watch his show, and I don't think it's premature in terms of his success. Right now, they're putting him out there because, you know,
he's the guy who outed Bill Cosby.
He's the guy out of Bill Cosby, and he wasn't ready for prime time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So hopefully, maybe he'll get it. You know, he'll catch it, but I don't feel it right now. And I wouldn't want to be someone to take down my hero. Right. I think we need heroes, and I think that we need to be more supportive until we know for sure, because ain't no charges against him. You know, innocent till proven guilty.
Mm-hmm. Not in this day and age. Not with social media. You're guilty when Twitter says you're guilty.
Right. And they don't ever they never retract what they say. Nope. They just put that on you. You know, that's a heavy one to carry around.
Have you ever had an incident?
I think the bigger thing here.
Never. This. Look at
well,
me.
Well, I mean, anything. Me. I mean, you know, anything could happen. A woman could be like, "Oh, no. I told him no." Or
I keep my drawers on.
No. You never had a baby pinned on you?
Never.
Jeez. I mean, what? Blank man can get some.
Probably.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's how I feel about Bill. I'm like, Bill, did Bill really have to rape women? It's Bill Cosby.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I mean. Okay.
Yeah. The thing that people, I think, they struggle with, too, with this whole Cosby story, is that, like, when he said hero, he was a hero to so many people. Mm-hmm. That's the part that they, because they can't wrap their head around. This was like,
if your hero's a piece of shit, though, don't you want a new hero?
Yeah, but I think it's so beat in, like, the mm-hmm. hero thing is so deep in their mind, they don't want to believe that the hero's a piece of shit.
There's a problem, also, that there's people that are really bad people that do really good things as well.
Oh, right.
There's people that are inconsistent. I mean, they do great things, like he might be a great comic, but also be a rapist.
Yeah, yeah.
He might be really drugging women and raping them as well as being really funny. That might be his demon. Because, like, almost every comic has some sort of a demon, mm-hmm. whether it's an anger demon or a drug demon or a violence demon or a gambling demon or, a, mm-hmm. you know, whatever the fuck the demon is.
Yeah.
His demon might very well be he likes to drug people.
Yeah.
He likes to have that ultimate power. And, you know, there's the other knock on Bill Cosby has always been that he's a massive elitist, where he believes he's much better than everybody else. Right. That has always been the knock on him.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point where I worked at a casino where he wanted people to tuck him in bed at night. He wanted the security guard to tuck him in bed. Like, literally.
Really?
Yep. Yep. He likes to be tucked in bed. He wanted people to sit down and watch him. They wanted all the staff that was working in the theater to watch him eat curry. Like, this is not something that I'm the only one who's heard this to. Mm-hmm. I've read this online, too. That he likes the people that work there to sit down with him while he eats. And they don't talk to him.
You worked at the venue where they told you this?
Yes. That he sits down there and he eats, and they all sit around and watch him eat. And he wants them to do that. Like
bit of a God complex.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Whatever craziness that allowed him to be that guy that openly criticized people. You ever see that time when Wanda Sykes interviewed him, some award show or something like that? And he's like shit on her English.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's wearing sunglasses indoors. Yeah. And he had that arrogance about him, right? That's the same kind of arrogance that would make you feel like you're better than other people to the point where you could just drug them. You know, especially some young girl that you might think is stupid,
mm-hmm.
and you could just drug her. Like, this is a silly bitch back at my place. Thinks she's not going to give the pussy to Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Plink, plink.
Yeah.
Here, drink this.
Yeah.
Would you like a cappuccino?
Yeah.
Keep you awake?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how ironic. He's giving him cappuccino with fucking Quaaludes in it.
He's a savage. And then that, you know, I keep hearing people, they keep saying, what fun is it to fuck somebody that's asleep? It's because that's what he likes.
Yeah.
He likes raping people that are asleep. It's not about hooking up because you're famous.
That's a crazy thing to say, because what fun is it to rape someone who's resisting? You're saying that doesn't happen? Of course,
I'm saying what Cosby likes is he likes raping passed out people.
Right. What I'm saying is how ridiculous is anyone saying that?
Right, like, right.
That's so short-sighted.
I know. It is.
What fun is it robbing people?
Yeah.
Don't you want to get your own money?
Yeah, of course, dummy.
It's the same thing.
It is.
It's the same. It's such a short-sighted thing to say. It's the type of thing that someone says when they're not talking to really intelligent, objective people on a regular basis and formulating these opinions based on real extensive thinking, you know, and the idea that all of them are lying seems kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It just seems kind
of... Of course it's crazy.
It's a fucking crime. I mean, this isn't like... This isn't something small. This isn't like a guy who, you know... Bill Cosby stared at my wife's tits. He stared at my wife's tits, too. No, this is like some deep, deep, dark, demonic shit.
And then they're going to blame, like, have the blame be on Hannibal. Like, it's... Like,
That's
he
crazy.
Did it. So stupid.
Also, them saying that Hannibal got that show just because that Hannibal was hot already.
Hot
which
as
is
shit.
Why, which is why people were coming to see his show of in course. A theater.
It was a theater show.
Yeah, while he was talking about Bill Cosby.
Yeah, of course.
So this is not a small thing.
No, no, no.
And Hannibal's argument was about that Bill Cosby always shits on people for using bad language, which is fucking true.
It was the whole thing we were talking about of like how he was lecturing young black people.
Exactly. Yeah. And Hannibal's like, well, at least I'm not a fucking rapist. Put that fucking phone down, Tommy. Flip it over. I see what you're doing. You can't help yourself. You can't help yourself. I shut my computer for you.
Thank you.
I don't want to influence you in
any
way.
Thank you.
It's hard, right?
It's kind of hard.
I think that the guy is a sick fuck. That's what I think. I think undeniably he's a sick fuck. How sick of a fuck he is, how evil he is, the only people that know are him and the people that he did that to.
It's the best profile ever for somebody that wants to do that.
Yeah.
So if you take away what you know of him as a performer and the celebrity, and you just imagine somebody that wants to do that, and then they build a reputation of being someone you can trust.
Impeccable.
I mean, he had the best reputation ever. You know, it's like when you have the Sandusky guy, the coach that had a charity that was for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I'm taking care of these kids that are, you know, left behind. And then he was raping those kids. But people that even knew him that were on the board of that were like, he's the best guy. Like,
do you know that that is apparently very common? That one of the things that evil people will do is they'll start a charity and then like really harp on that charity.
Oh,
and talk about that charity
evil.
All the time.
So evil.
And they become almost beyond reproach because of the fact they're doing such good work.
Right.
Like one of the things Lance Armstrong used to always bring up is how much money he was generating for cancer research.
Of course.
We've generated all this money for instead of saying like, hey, no, I didn't. I'm not doing any steroids. No one's doing steroids, which he did say a few times.
Yeah.
Or he would like immediately go to that thing about like how much money we're making with Live Strong.
And it was people's defense for him all the time.
Yeah.
When I criticized him on this show, I got lit up by people. This was before he came. And they were like, has he ever failed a test? Like his whole thing. I've never failed a test. And do you realize the amount of money being funneled into cancer research?
Mm-hmm.
Like that excuses.
It's all fucked up. I had Jeff Nowitzki on, the guy who busted him.
Mm-hmm.
And after he was on, Lance contacted me. And I had a conversation with him on the phone. And
Armstrong contacted
him? Yeah, he may or may not do the podcast because he wants to tell his story.
Oh.
I think if I look at his point of view, I think he was in a sport where everybody was doing drugs.
Right.
And I think there's a moment when you have these ideals, like what you're trying to do as a competitor, and then you get to the big leagues and you realize... Like, you get into that NFL locker room and you find out why people are 350 pounds of solid muscle.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I get it. Like, I have a buddy who played, I'm not going to say what college he played for, but he played college for, he played football. He's a big fucking dude. Mm-hmm. And he played with a bunch of guys who are in the NFL now.
Mm-hmm.
And he had some injuries and he stopped playing. He said that when he got to college, he goes, there was this attitude that you only have a few years. You have a couple years to make an impression. And he said the fucking sophistication of the drug use that he saw when he was in college at a big time college football team.
Yeah.
He goes, it was fucking crazy. He goes, it was crazy and it was widespread and it was from the top down. Everybody knew what the fuck was going on and there was an established protocol and they would tell you, hey, buddy, you're going to get tested on Friday. So on Friday, come in and you know, you're going to have to take your test. And he said when he would get tested, they would say, okay, here's your cup. You know, so go in there, do your urine sample, and then come out and bring it to me. Like, there was no one there while he did it.
Mm-hmm.
No one watched. They didn't tell if he had a rubber dick. They didn't tell if he had a guy in there waiting for him to piss in it for him. He goes, I could have had my cousin piss in a thing for me. People would piss in bags, and they would take that bag and strap it to their body so it would keep it body temperature, and then put it under your clothes. And then you would get into the bathroom, and then you'd open up that bag and pour the contents into the thing.
Sure.
So you'd have someone else's piss. He said, but they gave you all the time in the world to do it. And he goes, and everybody was doing steroids. Everybody. He goes, they weren't just doing steroids. They were doing EPO. They were doing all these drugs to maximize your endurance. They were doing all these recovery drugs. They were doing everything. Everybody's doing everything.
I believe it. I totally believe it.
I believe it too. And I think that's what happened with Lance Armstrong. I think this guy got into cycling.
Yeah.
He got to the highest level of the sport and he got to the pros and he's like, oh shit, this is all about taking your own blood out, putting it back in your body. This is about doing EPO. This is about doing testosterone. This is about doing whatever the fuck you can do to recover so that you can compete. And then you got the U.S. Postal Service, okay, which is the guys who are promoting his event, right? He's the cyclist for the postal team. So now he's getting sued for not just the money that they paid him for winning, because, you know, you have to sign something saying you're on drugs, but because he was working for the government. They say he's defrauded the government so that they can sue you for three times the damages.
Jesus.
So they're suing him for $100 million right now.
Yeah. It's pretty – well, the thing about I think what he did too and the why the perception is, you know, different for Lance in particular is that the light was shining brighter because of how successful he was. And then the way that he would defend himself – he was fucking vicious about it.
Yeah. So anybody, sue people too.
Sue people and then take them down publicly. Like he was destroying people's ability to work, make money, support their families. So he was cold fucking blooded about defending himself, which made him basically like a bigger dick throughout the whole thing. So not just a cheater, but a guy that was really fucking an asshole to everybody on the way.
That's why I want to hear his story.
Yeah.
I want to hear how he views it. And I also want to hear what it was like to be the focus of attention for a fucking dirty industry. I mean, it's a dirty business.
Did you watch the documentary?
Yeah, I did.
What was it like talking to him?
Interesting.
How long did you guys talk for a while?
Yeah, we talked for a while on the phone. I haven't met him in person. I was in Austin. I was going to invite him to my show. But I'm like, probably better just talk to him when I see him.
Yeah.
If and when I see him, just talk to him.
Is he considering doing it?
Yeah. It's his idea. He reached out to me.
Wow.
Yeah. I think, well, listen, you're not going to get a platform like this where you're going to reach millions of people and you can talk for 3 hours and I'm going to let you say anything you want.
Yeah.
And I want him to express himself as openly and as, and look, it's all out on the table now. They sued the shit out of him. They took a fuckload of money from him. They took away his ability to make a living. I mean, he's a guy that was the poster boy for this sport. I mean, if it wasn't for him, who gives a fuck about cycling? You got Greg LeMond, and you got Lance Armstrong. And that's it. I don't know anybody else. Do you know one other guy who cycles?
No.
I know Tony Hawk. I don't know anybody else that skateboards.
Right.
Who the fuck else skateboards? I'm sure there's other guys.
Yeah.
But that's the guy that's the big name guy. You know? I mean, there's a lot of sports that have that. Like women's fighting, everybody knows who Ronda Rousey is. There's a million other women fighters. Everybody knows who Ronda Rousey is.
It's so big. She's so big now that like I was in a hotel on fight night when she fought last, and like just dudes that you know are not fans of women's athletics were all, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're all walking around just to tell you how much she's changed things. Like they were like walking, looking, talking like the bellhop. Where's the Rousey fight on? I got to go find the Rousey. Like, I feel like that's how much it swung, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she's changed it. We're like, these fucking total misogynistic pigs were still like, I need to find that Rousey fight.
Now, why would you assume that just because they're dudes that they're misogynistic pigs?
I'm an asshole.
Because you're a guy.
Yeah. I just looked at them and I was like, these guys are pigs. Yeah, for sure.
If they like sports and they work out, they're pigs.
These guys were pigs. Fucking these guys pigs. Didn't work out. Yeah.
Did you see what Beyonce did?
Oh.
Beyonce did the Central Park concert.
Mm-hmm.
It was a free concert, and Dana White came up to me Saturday night after the fights, and he pulls over his iPhone. He goes, watch this.
Not the flip phone?
No, he has an iPhone now.
Okay.
They make him use an iPhone because he's under some investigation, so they have to be able to track all of his shit because of this. They're getting sued. There's a bunch of shit going on. Anyway, he shows me this video on his iPhone,
and it's Beyonce has a free concert in Central Park.
Uh-huh.
And on this giant screen, this fucking enormous 100-foot screen, she has all of Ronda Rousey's words playing out, like the script of it, while Ronda's talking. Ronda's talking about not being a do-nothing bitch. She's like, every muscle in my body has a functional purpose.
Right,
she's doing
I've
that thing.
That,
I'm not some do-nothing bitch sitting around waiting for some millionaire to come home and fuck me. And which, like, to, like, chicks that hustle, that is like, they're like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
But to all those do-nothing bitches out there, that's hey, what the fuck?
I mean,
I was your fan.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to work. I want, like,
I'm trying to get lucrative, but I ain't trying to hustle that hard.
How lucrative are you willing to get? Because I get lucrative.
Or what?
I get pretty lucrative.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Is that a shirt next week?
Lucrative.
I'm trying to get lucrative
I'm
right now.
I'm trying to get lucrative. I retweeted Ian Edwards. He's appearing this weekend at the Punchline. By the way, if you're in Sacramento, he's one of the funniest fucking dudes
is
working
so
today.
Fucking funny.
Look what he wrote me after I tweeted to him.
Thanks, man. It's going to be lucrative.
That's hilarious. We're both laughing about it on the plane. Dude. We couldn't stop saying it. How lucrative do you get? Because I get pretty lucrative.
That's hilarious. I get do you get lucrative? What? When I was in Montreal, I think I told you this, I did a show every night, an hour show every night.
Right.
So I would just ask, I asked Tony to come by and, like, just do an opening set, you know?
Right.
Dude, Ian fucking floored the place.
He's a monster.
Yeah, he floored it.
And he's only doing that now. I mean, he's doing some writing, but he's really concentrating on that.
But
now.
See, that's how you get really good.
He's we had a conversation about it, man. I told him, I said, dude, I think you're one of the best goddamn comics in the world. Mm-hmm. I think you're one of the best comics on the planet Earth. And people don't know about you.
Yeah.
I go, the difference between your skill level, your ability, and what people know is so vast.
Yeah.
And it's because he's been writing so much. Writing on all these sitcoms. And
he's good at
writers.
That. Yeah.
He's very good at that.
Yeah.
But he's best at stand-up.
Yeah.
His stand-up, he's a monster.
And he's such a unique, original voice.
Yeah.
There's not people that, no one reminds me of him. Like, he's really a unique talent.
And he's such a good dude.
Yeah.
I've been friends with him for like 24 years, 23 years.
He's got that fucking non-aging black guy thing where I'm like, what are you, like,
he won't 26? Tell me how old he is.
Well, yeah, and then you go, like, I was in New York at a club. I forget which club I was in, and he had a fucking headshot on there that looked 25 years old, and he had dreads in it, and it looked, I was like, how old is this shit, man? How old is he?
He's a vampire, bro.
Yeah, he's a vampire.
Sleeps upside down.
Yeah.
Let me see how old he is. We'll find out.
Really?
I'm gonna find out right now. I'm gonna Wikipedia the fuck out of that shit.
But it's probably not on there, right?
It says he's only 43. It says he's born February 11th, 1972, 43. Okay, that's bullshit. Unless he was 15 when I met him.
Nah, yeah.
That's a lie, Ian. How dare you? But he might. That might be true. He won't tell you, though. If you ask him, he won't tell you. The stripper that we were talking to, she wouldn't tell us either. I go, how old are you? I go, I'm 48. How old are you? She wouldn't tell us. I'm like, come on.
Come on.
A lady never tells her age. I'm like, yeah, they do when they're 20.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm almost 21. Yeah. My God, I'm so old. I can't believe I'm almost 21.
Now I don't ever not get sir. I used to not get sir that much.
You got gray in your beard, son.
Yeah, I know. I'm sir.
You got the fucking definitely beard. Sir. That man's beard.
Sorry, sir. We'll be with you in a minute, sir. I'm
like, yeah.
All right.
You got a fucking werewolf beard. Anybody with a big-ass gorilla beard like that?
Sir.
You're right. A sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. You're a goddamn man, Tommy Buns.
Yeah.
You're a man about to make a baby. Well, you made a baby. To have a baby.
Yeah. A couple months away.
How's that feel?
I'm excited, man. I really am. I think it's part of the reason is that I think it's because I didn't have a baby at 25, you know? So it's like something that I waited. Well, we waited, obviously, and then you're more established. I feel more like financially stable and emotionally ready for it. So,
well, it's perfect. It's a perfect time.
I hear people go like, are you terrified? And I'm like, no.
That's people that don't want any commitment in their life.
Yeah, I'm not terrified at all.
Those guys probably don't even have girlfriends though, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I never thought about it. But I'm like, no, I'm excited for it. I'm not terrified.
There's people that can't imagine anybody living other than the way they live.
Right.
You know? But you get that from all signs.
I hear people go, are you ready for your life to be over? What?
Who said that to you?
Just, you know.
Cut them off, whoever they are.
Yeah. Right, life to be over.
You know what's equally annoying, though? And I got to say, I really found this very annoying when I was single and I didn't have kids. It really bugged the shit out of me that people would tell me that you have to have kids in order to be like a mature adult.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when are you going to settle down and have kids? When are you going to, guys that I knew that had kids that were fucking miserable. And by the way, everyone who told me this to a man, everyone is divorced.
Yeah.
Every single one that told me to get married and have children is fucking divorced.
Yeah.
Every one of them. I mean like 7, 8, 9 guys.
Yeah, I've never believed that, and I certainly never lectured anybody.
That's sanctimonious shit. Telling people to live their lives the way you're living your life
is the only way you can do it.
It's like everybody's got people are weird, man. Some people, they just want to, like, I have a friend, my friend Steve Maxwell. He doesn't have a place to live. He just travels. He goes from town to town. He's a really famous, as far as that world, strength and conditioning coach,
uh-huh.
and like a personal trainer, and he goes all over the world. You'll see his Instagram. He's in Fiji sometimes,
just training people.
Training people. He'll put together these little small seminars. These small groups of people. We'll meet them every week. Like, they'll say, okay, like, you know, they have some things set up where they're like 10 people will meet, you know, in this one place, and then he's going to coach them for like 5 or 6 days. So they have like a getaway, and he puts these together, and then gyms will have him come in, and he'll teach seminars at their gyms, and he just lives out of a bag.
I couldn't live like that.
But he can.
Right, but I would never lecture that guy either.
I wouldn't like it, but he can do it.
Sure.
Tom Rhodes. For the longest, Tom Rhodes has a fucking apartment now in Los Angeles.
He does?
Yes.
When did he get it?
Decided really recently. He said, I'm done. I'm going to stay here. At the store, where he was hanging around the store, you know that secret comics bar, the little comics bar?
Yeah.
In the back?
Yeah.
There were only comics are allowed to go there and hang out there, and comics friends. We were hanging around back there. He's like, dude, I got an apartment. I go, what?
Yeah.
I go, how long were you a renegade for? He goes, like 10 years. For 10 years.
He came to my place last year and didn't have it. So I know it's got to be recent. Yeah.
He was staying in people's places. He was staying in hotels. He's a great guy.
He's a great guy.
A great dude.
Yeah, and he also is one of those guys that's a world traveling comic.
I mean, oh yeah,
you know, he's
Singapore
done,
1 week, Holland the next week,
and has done that kind of thing
forever. Yeah, I mean, he's been doing stand up for 25 years
at least. Yeah,
and out of those 25 years, he's been touring around the world for 15.
Yeah, at least, yeah.
At least. He used to have a show in Holland.
Yes.
Where it was
a late night show.
It was a late night show. It was like a big time show.
Yeah.
And it was the something something show, like some other guy's name, starring Tom Rhodes.
Uh-huh.
It was like the, like, say if you like, instead of like the Tom Segura show, it was like the Jamie Vernon show, starring Tom Segura. And like,
James.
It was real weird.
Yeah, and he was, I heard that, you know, he was like their letterman. Like,
yeah.
He was the
man. Yeah, he did that for quite a while.
Yeah.
He's, but he's decided now he wants to live in an apartment.
Yeah.
And he's had a wife for a while, too.
Yeah.
He travels with his wife.
She's great. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, he enjoyed that life. You can live any way you want,
Argentino.
Man.
Argentino. I think his mother's Argentine.
Argentino. Everybody's got their own thing, man. For some people, having a kid is the worst fucking idea on the planet.
I get that. I totally understand that. Yeah. I think those are the people that are telling me, are you out of your mind?
But there's a weird thing, man, when people are like, listen, dude, when are you going to settle down and have a kid? You need to have a kid. No. You need to, like, whoa. You know, listen, it's easy for you to say.
Yeah.
You know, you're not a man until you have a kid. You know, you're not mature. You know, you're not like...
I think it's really obnoxious and gross to assume that everyone would want that. Even like at any point. Like, I think that it's totally legit that somebody's 50, 60, 70 years old, never had kids, and is totally fulfilled and happy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Why wouldn't they be? You tell them you can't contribute unless you make another human being.
Yeah, that's silly.
That's silly.
Yeah.
I mean, what is your contribution in life? Your contribution in life is how you affect other people. Whether you influence them in a positive way, whether they think about you with love, or they think about you with happiness, the people that you've interacted with personally, the people that you know, that's what your legacy is.
Yeah.
And if you're a guy who thinks that having a kid is the end all be all, but then your kid turns out to be fucked up, well, what did you do, dummy?
Yeah.
You ruined your kid.
That was your contribution.
Your contribution, you fucked it up. You know, you had one big project and you fucked it up.
Yep.
You're sitting there drawing dicks.
No, that's an old drawing.
but it's yours.
That's true.
It's only an hour old.
Yeah, that's true. But we were talking about the world's biggest dick, so
you had a draw.
I was inspired.
You felt compelled.
Yeah.
Are you going to keep doing that once you have kids, Tommy? You going to keep drawing dicks?
I think so, but I'll just call them something else.
Yeah. You're going to influence your kid by drawing dicks.
I'm going to have a real tough time with being mature, I feel like.
You know? Well, I don't think you have to be.
Yeah, well, I'll be very... We already have a system in place where we're trying to... we're going to do burps are one thumbs up, but farts are two thumbs up because farts are fucking awesome.
What do you mean?
Like whenever anyone farts around the kid, I'm going to go two thumbs
up.
So
you and your wife just rip them in front of each other.
Yeah, sure. But my belches have been getting stronger. They're better now.
You're working on them?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
Your diet, more probiotics?
Yeah, I just feel that I feel like I'm having them come up from the diaphragm now, and they're just more powerful, you know.
Have you always farted in front of your girlfriends?
Not right away, but yeah, eventually.
How long do you usually wait? How many dates in?
Oh, it's a while. I mean, I make sure I'm in there. I'm getting in there pretty often, and then I do it. I don't...
Like, you make sure you fuck them.
Yeah, yeah, good. Yeah. A while. Yeah, 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 yeah. And it's like, this is a regular thing. Here come the fucks. Yeah. Do you know about... Did I ever tell you about the first time I farted in front of her?
No.
This is bold. This is bold, man. We've been dating for a little while, probably like, I don't know, 5-6 months or something, and... I'm at her place. It's a Saturday morning. I still remember I'm watching college football, and I think she was making breakfast or something. And then...
Perfect life.
It's a great life. I'm sitting
just
on her couch.
Sex.
Yeah. I'm sitting on her couch wearing boxers, watching TV, and she comes and she sat next to me, and I felt a fart coming, and I grabbed her arm, and I took her hand, and I put it between my legs, and I farted on her hand for the first fart ever. And I just remember her going like, oh my God. And she goes, it smells like garbage. It smells like garbage. She kept saying that. And she was like, what the fuck? And later, like now she told me, do you realize how crazy that was? And I was like, yeah, I didn't realize it at the time. And she goes, if I was who I am now, I would have fucking cut you off right then and there like that.
Really?
She says that like, she's like, clearly I was not in a good place to stay with a guy that farted on my hand.
But it was funny, right?
It was really funny. Yeah.
So, but why would she not?
I think she was joking in a way, but she was just like for a first fart to be on someone's hand is pretty...
It worked out, though.
It worked out, yeah.
But you knew she was the one.
I knew. That was essentially my proposal.
When did she fart in front of you first? Immediately afterwards.
I actually don't remember her first one, but I'm getting a lot of them now. It's made up for it. So she's been ripping some pregnancy farts that are fucking powerful, man.
Does that bum you out?
No.
Never.
Because the thing is, like, I'm not somebody that's ever... No, that has... ever been like, ooh, fart, like it just doesn't have that effect
on me. Is she the first girl that's ever farted in front of you?
No, God, no.
No. So you just attract that kind of gal.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've been with girls that didn't, obviously, but yeah, no, if I dated you for a while, you fart.
It's okay. No, when you date girls for a while, how do you know when it's time to unleash the hounds?
I mean,
it's different with every time, man.
It is. It's different. You got to feel it out. But it's like, I think it's. Are you still in the like I'm trying to make an impression phase, or have you settled into like, you know,
who you are?
Who you are? Yeah,
that's hard, right?
Do you not fart in front of your wife?
If she accidentally walks in after I farted, I claim it.
Yeah, and does she fart in front of you?
Whoops. She has.
She has
more than once.
But like, let's say you're laying in bed.
She won't like grab her ankles. And go, here we go. Boom.
I do some really obnoxious shit. Really obnoxious, yeah. But like if you're laying in bed tonight and you're whatever, winding down, mm-hmm. and you feel a fart come, do you get up?
I
and
try
walk
to
out?
Be polite.
You do? Yeah. Or you just kind of let it sneak out or
no,
something?
I only fart in front of my friends like that.
So what would you do though? Would you leave the room?
Yeah, most likely. Or hold it in.
Wow. Really?
Common courtesy is ridiculous to Tommy Buns.
Well, I mean, it's just
most people don't want to smell their husband's farts.
I know,
and
but
plus, if I thought in any way it would keep her from blowing me,
yeah, then yeah. Well, I guess I hear you.
Okay. I don't look at it that way.
Yeah, I'll hold my farts during sex.
Do you?
Sure,
that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
But sometimes post-coital, they come out.
A friend of mine was a cameraman. He was a cameraman on.
who's a cameraman on a TV show that I was on, but he had also done some camera work on porn when he was starting out to, you know, to make money. And he said there's this one guy, he's like this big, bulky bodybuilder guy who just would rip the most disgusting farts while he's fucking these girls.
While he's fucking?
While he's fucking them. And because he just ate a lot of protein.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would just unload these farts and these poor girls. And they, look, they have to work.
Yeah.
Because, like, when you, I guess when you're a guy and you're a porn star, and he was this big, muscular black guy, I guess, first of all, there's this thing where it's not a matter of whether or not you're going to have sex.
Yeah.
Like, these girls are getting paid to have sex with you on camera. It's not whether or not they're going to want to do certain sexy things, whether they're going to like it or not like it. That's out the window. Now it's, you're going to come, I'm going to come in your face. You're going to come in their face. I'm going to put it in your ass. Like, we already worked this out.
Right.
It's in the contract. I'm putting it in your ass. We're going ass to mouth. I'm going to come in your face. You're going to suck my balls. I'm going to jerk off in your hair. Like, it's all worked out.
Yeah.
So, like,
and you're going to smile afterwards, too.
There's no, like, there's no romance to it, Tommy Bones.
Right, yeah.
You know?
That,
there's no speculation.
Intimacy, really, yeah.
No, well, definitely no intimacy, because whatever you're doing in front of a gang of people.
Right.
There's a boom mic hanging over the bed. There's cameramen. There's a craft service table that you've been hitting up. And I guess he's like, I don't have to impress anybody. I'm just going to fart.
That's during sex is my line. I've never done that. I've never done that, man.
Some people don't have a problem with that.
I have a friend that also was a camera guy for porns, and not anymore. But he told me, I go, what's like the grossest thing? And he goes, the grossest thing by far are the smells. Because he's like, you know, you're like, I would come like underneath and be like kind of positioned under a guy's ass and balls.
Oh, God.
And he's slap, you know, for that underneath shot. And he's like, just all their smells. I'm just like, just inhaling them. And then someone would be like, yeah, get another shot of that. And you go back down there. Like the worst part, he said, just smelling stuff.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's pretty horrendous.
Wonder what happens if someone has a yeast infection and it just stinks. Do they just have to man up?
I think they probably go until someone's like, I'm going to puke. or like the guy's like, it won't get hard if I'm smelling this, you know?
Oh,
God.
That's a smell. That yeast infection smell is nature's alarm signal.
It is, yeah.
Dude,
let's talk about, I know, your favorite topic.
Hmm?
Ohio State, Virginia Tech.
What?
Kicking off.
What are you talking about?
College football.
Tonight. Oh.
Big game.
Oh, you're talking because Jamie's here.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
got
a stupid fucking hat on.
He's like, he's all excited. There
no,
he
no,
is.
No, 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 no. Don't turn that mic on. Fuck.
No, it's just exciting. That's all.
What's excited about you?
Me?
What excites
I feel the
you
same,
about it? Rather?
I feel the same way about college football that you do about fights.
Impossible.
I really do.
Doesn't even make sense.
Why?
Because I get paid to talk about fights.
I'm a huge guy on ESPN. You've never seen
me? I didn't know. Would you do that if they offered you that gig?
100%.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you be good at it?
I feel like I could do like the round table stuff right now. I couldn't do like the commentating.
Could you do like what training. Dennis Miller used to do where you'd come in, you know, that's like,
that's horrible. Blah, blah, blah. That's horrible.
Yeah.
And I hate that role. I like a two-man commentating booth for football.
Mm-hmm.
I like your play by your color guy comment, you know.
Right.
I like that setup of like somebody's telling you what's happening and the, you know, the analyst. The analyst, once you really get into it and you see a really good analyst in football, you really appreciate what the way they're highlighting things for you. It's like what you do with like when you explain what just happened.
Right.
Like the layperson just goes like, that guy's good. Or like, he fucked him up. But you, you know, when you explain how it happens.
Right.
I love
right.
that. In like, I think Kirk Herbstreit, who's an Ohio State guy, is the best at it. Like, you saw basically a pass thrown and a touchdown score. You're like, great pass. But he explains that this guy,
the defensive play,
how the coverage broke down,
right.
what the quarterback saw, how it developed. I love that aspect of it.
So you love the strategic aspect of setting up the plays
and seeing how something works. I love that. And I just love the environment. I like college football the most.
Why do you like college the most?
I don't know, man. I think it's because I like, you know, I like the tradition. I like the rivalries. They feel more genuine. They feel like there's genuine hatred between teams. You know, we're talking like 100-year-old programs. You know, like these are they've had a football team since, like, you know, sometimes like 1898, shit like that, you know, where like it's been there that long. There's just a passion about it. I don't know. I love being around it. I love seeing the games.
That's crazy. You've always been like this? Is this something you've always been excited about, college football, or is this something you
since
developed?
Since I was a kid. Since really? I was a kid, yeah.
What gets me about college versus pro is that, like, you have to follow all these young students that are playing football, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to know who they are.
You mean, like, if you're going to be, like, a super fan of the game?
Yeah, I mean, every year they're turning over, right?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You only have, like, 3 years.
Possibly, yeah, yeah.
4 years max.
Yeah.
And then they're gone, and you have new guys in.
It could, you know, and I can tell, like, my level of... Because sometimes there's certain years or a certain number of years where I'll have a more laid-back fandom to it, where, like, I don't really know, you know, like, the details, like...
But you know a bunch of people.
Yeah, I will. But, like, I think this year I've been super busy. You know, I didn't pay as much attention, definitely, to, like, recruiting classes and stuff that I've paid attention to before. You know?
But what, so, why college over, like, NFL?
You know, I mean, the stuff that I talked about, like, the passion stuff, I love. I feel like it's more genuine. I feel like it's more, there really are, like, there's a real passion for the game. Part of it is because probably, like, a lot of those kids are trying to make it to the NFL.
Oh, for
you know,
sure, right?
Yeah, they're fucking killing themselves to make it. You know, like I said, the rivalries feel like they feel more authentically just genuine and real. I you know, Ohio State, Michigan, you know, Florida State, Miami, Georgia, Florida, like those kinds of games are just like UCLA. Now, I guess there'd be UCLA, USC, or USC, Stanford the last few years.
So you root for your college team that you went to school?
No, my school is a fucking tiny D2 school. There's just programs that you grew up watching, you know, that you just kind of gravitate towards.
This is so alien to me.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so fun to me. I don't know what it is, man. I love it. I love the environment, you know? I love it.
I hear people talking about, like, the NFL and, like, this Tom Brady thing, just that people won't stop talking about.
God,
Deflategate.
That really fucking got some legs and went, never stopped.
Now, he's been acquitted, or they just have to drop the charges?
The judge, the federal judge, threw out the suspension, basically decided that the commissioner couldn't punish him in the way that he did. Why in other not? Words... He just ruled that you don't have the right to do that in this case.
Huh. They can do that? They just decide that you don't have the right to suspend somebody?
I guess. I'd never seen it really go this far before. What looked like, I mean, you know, I'm sure someone's going to explain it better than I can, but, like, the commissioner said, you know, you're suspended 4 games and you guys are fined this and that for your part, you know, for this, what I'm accusing you of, which is... deflating the footballs, right?
Right.
And then he appealed, and then they went back and forth, and then this federal judge was going to rule whether or not the suspension could be upheld or thrown out, and he ruled that it was like that the commissioner didn't have
the authority
to do that. Yeah. Even though he's suspended a lot of other people before for a lot of other things, and there's never been, I've never seen it thrown out like that before.
Now, how does that work? Because they also took away their draft picks, right?
Yeah. It's like, and fined them like a good amount of money,
so
too.
Do they have to pay that money back?
That's what I don't know. I think they're trying to get... people were like, well, what are we going to get our drafts picked back? Are we going to get the money back? Like, all those things, I think, are still up in the air.
But didn't that guy destroy his phone?
He did. He did destroy one of his phones, yeah.
So...
they said that one of the big things is that, like, this doesn't prove that he didn't do anything wrong, or that he didn't do what he's being accused of. All that the judgment is saying is that you can't suspend him for these 4 games.
Now, what's the benefit of having a softer ball?
It's a preference
air.
Thing, you know. Like every quarterback is different, you know, and like a slightly deflated ball has an easier grip, is what some people argue. You know, they don't like it super full because it's really hard, and sometimes it's a harder grip. So a slightly deflated ball, you know, these guys, it's like any sport, like, guy, you know, the basketball guy might like his fresh pair of sneakers and make sure, you know, you see the guys, they put the powder on there. It's just like a personal preference thing. So some guys like it that full grip and some guys like it slightly deflated.
What a massive distraction for people, though. Like,
oh, yeah.
How many people over the last year have been talking about deflated footballs?
Unbelievable. Yeah.
I've never heard a single thing since corked bats. Remember the corked bats controversy during the...
Oh, yeah, sure.
Guys would drill holes in their bat and put cork in the center of their bat because apparently it gives more spring to the ball and you would get more distance out of home runs.
Yeah.
That's the last time I remember something being like, I don't remember who it was, but there was some famous player who broke a bat and then the bat had cork in it.
Yeah, I remember.
And everybody was like, outrageous.
Outrageous. Yeah, no.
What have you done?
Part of it, obviously, is because he's, you know, he's Tom Brady, so it's like... The it's like going back to the Lance thing. It's like, you know, everyone's watching him.
Yeah.
They're that, they just won the Super Bowl. They're, you know, he's the guy.
He's handsome.
Yeah.
He's got this beautiful supermodel wife. Yeah. Do you know how much money his fucking wife has made?
I've read a lot of different stats, but apparently it's nothing short of $250
million. $400
million.
Really? Wow. He apparently has made $150 million and she has made $400 million.
From modeling.
From looking pretty.
Yeah. For being,
That's it. I mean, I don't have any idea what she sounds like when she talks.
She has kind of a deeper...
She's like a guy.
Yeah, like
I've always been the sexy one in the family.
She has that Portuguese accent.
Wow. So, yeah. But, I mean, stop and think about that. You can make that much money as a supermodel?
Yeah.
That's more money than Bo Jackson ever made his entire career.
Yeah. That's really crazy.
$400 million. Damn. And he's a fucking one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
He can't even come close to that.
It's not even, it's not, if that's the real figure, it's not even close.
Quarterbacks, man, that's a tough gig because those dudes are all running at you, trying to smash you.
Yeah.
They say Peyton Manning can't feel his fingers.
Yeah, he can't feel his fingertips, and he's been told a lot of times that...
It's never coming back.
Yeah, and he had that neck injury where they were like, you're never coming back, and that's how much he loves playing, that he, you know, fought through it.
What did they do for his neck? They did that Regenikine shit, that shit I had done on my neck.
He had a crazy surgery done, and then...
Surgery?
Yeah, he had surgery, for sure.
So they probably trimmed back the disc.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they're doing now, man? They're giving people stem cell shots.
Really?
Oh, dude, I got one in my shoulder.
Did you do that thing, by the way, when your kids were born, where you, like... Yeah, you did that, right?
Yeah, banked the embryonic. Yeah. But apparently there's a better way to do that now. I think they use placenta now for that, too.
Yeah.
They used to use the cord, but now I believe they use placenta.
They gave us a whole kit they were supposed to bring.
Yeah. Yeah, look into it, because I think there's another more effective way.
Really?
Yeah. The stem cells, though, that they get from the placenta, it's really fascinating stuff, man. They're taking these, I guess it's amniotic, I guess that's the word.
Mm-hmm.
And they take these stem cells from placenta, and they're shooting them into athletes. And it's amazing. It comes out of this tube where it's liquid nitrogen's in it, so smoke's coming out of it because it's frozen before they inject it in you. It's really freaky. Like, this is some space-age shit.
Yeah.
One shot, and they shoot it in you within a week. Within a week, my shoulder felt amazing.
Really?
Yeah. Now I'm 5 weeks in. I keep waiting for it to hurt. Like, I'm doing all this working out. I'm doing rows and chin-ups, and I keep waiting for it to fuck with me, and it hasn't been fucking
and
with me at
everything
all.
Everything else good? Back, knees, all that stuff?
Yeah, everything's good, man.
That's awesome.
I'm going to start shooting that stem cell shit everywhere.
Yeah.
Anytime anything's wrong, shoot it in there. Let's fucking see what's up. They're going to have, within a few years, they're going to have these places where you're going to be able to go, and they're going to put young blood in your body. This is going to happen. This is the next thing, because they've done all these studies that have shown with mice that when they take young blood, like the mice, the blood of young mice, and they put in the blood of old mice, the mice, their memory improves, their athleticism improves, their body starts moving like a young mouse. And then when they take the blood of old mice and they put it in young mice, the young mice become old and tired.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Fucking freaky.
It's kind of amazing. Someone's got to be doing that right now, right?
Dude, in China, guaranteed. They probably have a bunch of fucking prisoners hooked up to machines, and they're sucking blood out of them like the Matrix.
Yeah.
You know, and just pumping them right into their athletes.
Yeah.
They're also going to, they're doing these things called myostatin inhibitors. Myostatin is what regulates your muscle size. Mm-hmm. And they're doing that on Chinese athletes, allegedly.
China doesn't give a fuck. They go crazy. Fuck.
When you have a billion people.
Yeah.
Just like, there's plenty of people, bro. That's our number one resource is humans.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's experiment. See how lucrative we can get.
Get lucrative right now. I gotta go pee.
Go pee. We'll wrap this up.
Okay.
We've already done 3 hours.
Holy shit.
You're a fucking animal. Tommy Buns, when's your Netflix special? You just recorded one. When is it airing?
It's coming out in January.
It's coming out in January?
Yeah.
And then the last one, which is hilarious.
Completely Normal. It's on Netflix now.
It's on Netflix right now. Go take a peek, okay. You fella. You can see Tommy Bunn's podcast. It's called Your Mom's House with his lovely and talented wife, Christina Bozitsky. You can catch Tommy on Twitter. It's Tom Segura. Or on Instagram, it's Segura Tom. Because I guess there's some other Segura, Tom Segura character out there. And he's fucking awesome. If he's coming to your town, go see him. Check out his website, all that jazz. All that stuff's available on his Instagram and his Facebook and his Twitter. That's it. All right, you fucks. We'll be back tomorrow. So tomorrow, I'll see you then. Until then, be nice to each other, you fucking savages. Bye.